right. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on another episode of Extreme Health Radio. I'm hoping that we sound okay. It's been a couple months since we've been on a Friday show.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It feels like a couple months, but I don't remember the last time.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, too long.
Too long.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I hope that everyone can hear us okay. We had a really great session with Paul Wright the other day.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, yesterday, he spent about an hour and a half with us fixing our live sound that sounded pretty horrible from what I understand. I wasn't so sure about that sound, but apparently it sounds a lot better now. And I'm curious, all of you guys in the chat room, if you can hear this okay, and if the sound does sound, in fact, better, we'd love to know.
Please.
Are people saying anything?
Let's find out. Not yet.
Okay.
But let's
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. As we go, let us know.
And Paul is a patron supporter as well.
Oh, they can hear us very well.
Oh, good.
So thank you, Paul. I know, Paul.
Paul, thank you so much for your help yesterday and for being a patron. You are just amazing. That was so helpful. I had no idea what I was doing by trying to fix anything I was doing. As you can tell, too, it was pretty complicated. But I think we worked it out pretty well.
Apparently.
Yeah.
This is good.
That feels good.
I listened to the little test ones you guys did afterward, and it sounded like a whole new show to me. So. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And I'm curious, too, we do our shows every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if you guys would like to join us, you can always go to extremehealthradio.com/live. And you can join the chat room and make some friends in there and get your questions answered and have a good time. And I'm curious, too, typically we're doing a lot of interviews these days and we're doing sporadic Free-for-All Friday shows. So if you guys are interested in the Free-for-All Friday shows, which is the one that we're going to be doing today with no guest, please let us know. And unmute my mic. Please let us know if you enjoy these shows and if you like them and if you like us to do more of them. We're open to that. And so we're not sure if you guys are really loving these shows. So let us know.
Please.
Because we love doing interviews too, but we love doing these ones as well. So we're curious if you guys like Mix Max both or what. So we appreciate your input on that.
Doesn't it kind of feel like you're a kid, like Friday, can't wait to get out of school? It's like a different feel.
I know, right?
Like there's something about Friday shows that you just feel like, I don't know. Just
feels good.
Feels different. It's fun.
Take these headsets.
It's all
off.
Fun, but this is just more, it just kind of feels like there's something special on a Friday.
And Kate is dealing with a little health challenge.
Oh my goodness.
Here. A little health challenge. a little bit of a messed up throat.
Yeah, and I'm bouncing back, but wow. Well, it's been a week and a half, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be the master muter over there. I'm probably going to have a lot of times where I'm going to cough, but.
A lot of coughing attacks.
You know, I really waited this thing out and, I hadn't had a cough like that in probably over 10 years.
Right.
And it's the kind of cough, you've had it a few times where your organs just hurt from coughing. It feels like you did like 1,000 sit-ups every day.
I know, right?
Yeah, but I'm on the tail end. I nebulized the heck out of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Really small.
We bought some
sovereign silver.
And we use our little Omron nebulizer that's in our store.
We did that.
Uh-huh.
That nebulizer rocked. I thought something was wrong with it, but it just needed the batteries changed out.
It did, huh?
That and tons of vitamin C. Started out with lipospheric or liposomal at the beginning. Is that our machine actually blew. I think I got a little too excited about making it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went a little too many rounds with our, what do you call that? That machine.
It's the jewelry cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that blew and we couldn't get it fixed from the appliance guy. So we're in the market for another one of those.
Yeah.
But I've been taking other vitamin C. So I'm a little funny with my voice and the cough, but I'm coming back.
I love it. Had that melatonin treat you last night.
I feel like I'm on drugs.
I know, right?
I'm so drugged out. Like I slept till, about a half hour ago.
Yeah.
I took a melatonin for the first time in my life. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I had never done that too, really, either until recently. And the melatonin, if you guys have never tried that before bed, a lot of people can get sort of addicted to it.
I can see why.
You know, because it, and then it loses its effectiveness. But man, if you,
need
I think
a good
I take
night's
it about
sleep.
4 days a week.
Holy
and,
moly.
It really helps a lot.
I didn't think you were kidding, but when you said, like, make sure you take it, like, about 20, 30 minutes before bed and then you'll just be out, I thought, oh, I don't know. He's more sleep sensitive. Like, I won't tell a difference. And I went to bed. I do remember going to bed just like out. And I thought, oh, this is really great. It must be working. Right. And then I went to the restroom at like 3 a.m, came back, and I felt all perky. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be up now for good.
Oh, right.
And then all of a sudden the alarm went off. It was like 8:25. I thought, well, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Guest 9352 wants to know about your experience on the air with Reiki.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing Reiki.
Reiki.
You always say Reiki.
But how do you know that that's correct?
Because we talked with a couple people who are Reiki people, and they said Reiki. It's like the K-E-Y.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Reiki just sounds like it Reiki. Reeks.
Reiki. It's easier to say. Reiki.
Is it?
Yeah.
Reiki.
And then Reiki.
Apparently, this is the coolest thing. I went to a couple sessions maybe a year and a half ago. And
Which are on your blog.
Which are on my blog, and those were about my first experience with Reiki, and that was where... It was really neat. I was seeing all kinds of light in my eyes, and I felt like a big stirring of energy, especially around my core. Like, where's your solar plexus? That's down here, huh?
I think that's higher up.
Oh, when people talk about that, like right in this area?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that's where I felt it. And I felt a lot of movement in my shins and really wild energy. And then I wanted to continue, but, you know, due to budget and stuff, there were so many more things I needed to focus on. So I stopped that, but always had the intention to go back. Well, one of my best friends, she recently completed a Reiki training and asked if, her mom, which is one of my very best friends, and I would want to be her guinea pigs. And so we've been her guinea pigs, just starting last week. So for 3 times a week, until I feel like I'm completely doing a lot better with my health. She's working on me, both in person when we're together and from a distance.
Isn't that wild? And do you feel like it's helping?
Yeah. I mean, she did a session on me 2 days ago, and that was the biggest leap I made with this cough. And that surprised me, because usually when I lay flat, when I'm sick, like the coughing seems worse. You know how that can get when you lay down?
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't even know. Excuse me. I thought, I don't even know how I'm going to make it out of this session. Like, I'm not going to be able to lay here without coughing. And it doesn't matter, because we weren't on the phone or anything. It's just all distance healing, which still just completely trips me out. It's just the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But I laid on the biomat. I had my, like, on our Instagram, I put a picture. I had it all set up and heated up the biomat for 20 minutes and then laid down on that at the time that she was going to start working. And that was quite bizarre. It really felt like I felt that, I felt it all in my shins, like really, really powerful, just energy moving. And
really?
I talked to her. Uh-huh. And wow. Gurgling, tons of digestion stuff. And not like, like tons of gurgling, like when you have hunger pains, but it wasn't like I was hungry, and it wasn't like I'd just eaten. It was just, there clearly was stuff moving around. And, being on the biomat just by itself is such a wild energetic experience to me. It just completely like lays me out. So after the energy session, I just completely fell asleep for like another 20 minutes and I woke up. And since then, my cough has been like reduced by probably like 70%. So
does it help with weight issues? They want to know in the chat room.
Oh gosh. Let
Reiki?
Me think about
Reiki?
That.
Sorry, Reiki.
Reiki.
I've never heard it. I'm not sure. I'm sure that
I'm not sure.
Well, I've never heard of anyone going to Reiki for that particular issue.
That's same here. I do. What popped into my mind, though, when you're talking about energy and things like that for weight is the tapping.
Oh, right.
There's tapping, Jessica Ordner we had on our show. Actually, if you haven't heard that one, that is an amazing show with her about tapping for weight loss. And that's meridian energy work, too, just in a different form. So. As far as Reiki, that's an interesting question. I will ask my pal, and I'll talk about that on the next time that we have a Friday show. Or
yeah,
I'm very curious about that. That's a great question. Heard that.
I want to let everyone know too about a couple different summits that are coming up. Some really, really cool. The thing that's so awesome about summits I like is that everything is free. You don't all you have to do is sign up and register. So there's two really great summits coming up. One is called the Essential Oils Revolution Summit, and that goes from May 11th to May 18th, 2015. Free to register, free to join. And the other one is the Hay House World Summit, which is every year from May 9th to May 28th.
Yay.
And, that one has over 100 different people that are going to be talking about relationships, health, wealth, well-being, personal development, success,
natural healing.
It's awesome.
That is a great summit.
Yeah, you can sign up and you can listen to all the interviews for free, which is really cool. Same with the Essential Oils Revolution, which is awesome because essential oils are really popular right now. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is that, from what I understand, it's a completely non-biased thing. So people that, you know, a lot of people are interested in like the Young Living essential oils, or they're interested in the doTERRA brand, and there's sort of competition and all this kind of stuff. But they're talking about oils more from a perspective of how you can use them and what they're good for, and different ailments you can use them for, and how to do specific things with the oils. So they're not really recommending a company per se. So
yeah.
Let me put that in the chat room.
We got a listener, didn't we? Wrote us in though, saying that she felt like somebody was a little biased. They worked for a company of one of those. They were a rep or involved with one of those, and she was a little bit disappointed because she thought it was supposed to be more of an unbiased thing. So I think there might be, I mean, that's really hard to completely get around. I think that whole, you know, in that world, you're going to have people who obviously are invested in what they think is the best. So, I mean, it's hard to completely stay unbiased with that, and or for somebody not to mention the brand they use, or, but overall, I agree. It's been very,
It's going to be much
neutral,
much more neutral than other.
Yeah.
There's never been a summit like this, so I wouldn't even say other summits, but other information out there. So I would highly recommend signing up to both of those. It's extremehealthradio.com/EOS, Essential Oils Summit, and extremehealthradio.com/Hayhouse, HAYHOUSE. I put those in the chat room, and I will put them on the show page. In fact, this is episode, 376?
376,
and I want to let you guys know, too, we have some great bonuses that we're giving away for free, and one of them is an audio course that I put together myself about my experiences with overcoming addictions to food and how I did that. And I did that over the course of quite a long period of time.
And it does take a while, doesn't it, with food addictions? Ooh.
It totally does, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, food. We developed this weird, strange relationship with food from the time we're born. And there's some psychological triggers being pulled there, and there's some strange things going on with our desire and our lust for different types of foods, even, you know, depending on whether or not we're breastfed, and all kinds of different factors. And so it's really challenging to overcome food addictions, and
yeah.
I feel like I've done it in a really good way, in a healthy way, and I no longer have any sort of addictions for fast food, you know. Remember we used to always go to, not In-N-Out. I mean, we go to In-N-Out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
My favorite place was El Pollo Loco. Remember that place?
Oh, gosh. Oh. When we were dating, we'd go there quite a bit. It seems so healthy.
It seems healthier, but yeah. I think it seems healthier because it's just not one of those run-of-the-mill hamburgers.
Yeah.
And fries.
Yeah. But that got really old, huh?
Yeah. I used to love their
some bowl.
No, it was a bean burrito with rice
and
chicken. And what else did they have in that thing? That was really good. I don't even know what else they had in
there. I don't know, but it was magic. I got that same version, but without the tortilla and like this bowl. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what seemed different?
Magic in your mouth.
don't make me laugh. It seemed like they were pinto beans, and they were like boiled or something. So it seemed really healthy. It wasn't all like lardy, greasy.
Yeah.
The rice seemed really light. Yeah. Ooh.
In-N-Out was great too.
Look at us talking about our food.
I know, right? But
it seems like such a distant memory.
The funny thing is, though, I could go buy one of those places, and unless I were starving to death, it wouldn't even cross my mind that would be considered something that I could actually consume, which is so strange because we lived off that stuff for our whole life. So anyway, if you're interested in this program I put together, it's a short little audio program, and also you get a really great ebook called Lessons from the Miracle Doctors, which sells for, I think, $20 on Amazon. Text the word, all one word, Get Healthy, GETHEALTHY, Get Healthy to 33444. So if you're listening on your cell phone right now and you want to grab a copy of this ebook that you can, if you want to pay for it, you can buy it on Amazon, like I said. And this audio course obviously is not available on Amazon, but you can get all that if you text Get Healthy to 33444. So you can check those out. Another little announcement is that we are not going to be doing commercials anymore, at least for a while. We're going to try it out, which makes no sense, right?
Does anything we've been doing lately make sense? No. We just keep trying. We keep trying different ways and seeing what we like our show to be, and mm-hmm. how people prefer it and what makes sense for us. And yeah, I think it's going to be fun to try.
Yeah.
Why have, what made you think of this idea in the first place?
Well, a few different things. I think that in 2015, people, I'm sure you're listening to this at a podcast or whatever, even if you're listening live. I think that in 2015, people are, I think one of the reasons is people are too smart for commercials.
Uh-huh.
I think they're just too smart for
uh-huh.
them. You know, when, what was that? The TiVo came out a few years ago. Was it TiVo where people were able to sort of record live TV and just go through
the... I think that is... TiVo's...
Is that right?
TiVo sounds like it was like a million years ago.
TiVo.
Yeah. Nobody talks about TiVo anymore. Yeah. That's where you could record, right? And skip all the commercials.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, no one, you know, is watching commercials anymore. And mm-hmm. rightly so. And to be honest, doing the commercials for us, I didn't particularly enjoy it because there's a thing where with the commercials, you have to really switch them up a lot so people don't get bored of them because
right.
a lot of our listeners listen to multiple shows, lots of different shows. And, you know, it got to be time consuming to edit the commercials and to make them and put music behind them and all this kind of stuff. And then also I felt like it sort of broke up the conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Like, yeah. The flow.
The flow. Yeah. Because one of the way or reasons that I wanted to do this show was to, excuse me, we're both coughing here. One of the reasons why I want to do this show is because I wanted it to be sort of like the listener was a fly on the wall in a place where two people are having a great conversation, whether it's you and I or you and I and a guest in studio or on Skype. And the guest can just kind of listen in as, I'm sorry, the listener, as someone who just happens to be there hearing this great conversation. And if we were to have a great conversation together, we wouldn't really stop for a commercial, you know, together. It's like, you know, it's not, hang on, let me talk to you about, let me just break this great conversation. Let's talk about the sauna, you know? Oh,
you're right though.
You know, so I've just felt like, it was just not very natural. We will go back to them if the experiment doesn't work out because there is this the real, very real, tangible sense that we do need your support desperately, and we need it in a big way, especially right now. So it makes no sense really to not do commercials because that's the bulk of how we're able to continue doing a show. So it's really risky for us to not do commercials, but we feel like it's going to help people enjoy the show more, and the show's going to be better because of it, I think. You know? And so what we're going to do is we've set up a page on our website called Join Us. And there's a link at the very top right of the website as the website is right now. And it says Join Us. It's in the top green bar. I'm sure one day we'll change the website up a little bit, but we're going to keep that link somewhere in the top right of the website. And on that page, there's, I think, two ways you can support us financially. And then there's about 9 or 10 ways you can support us non-financially by commenting.
I love that you give that option because, you know, yeah, I just think it's great.
Sharing our shows on Facebook.
Free.
All kinds of different free things. And
we're
not going to go over them, but we would encourage you to go over there because we're taking sort of a risk and a step out in faith and cutting commercials out so that we can make a show better for you guys. And if in favor, in turn, if you could go over to that page, extremehealthradio.com/join, and either support us financially through Patreon and on all that, or read all the different ways you can support us without spending a dime, that would be helpful. And I hope this experience pays, or this experiment pays off, because I really don't want to go back to commercials.
I know.
Because I don't like breaking shows up like that.
Mm-mm.
Did you like it?
No. It was, well, the only way.
It's nice because
we can
go to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. We can run to the bathroom or we could like stuff something in our mouth, but, you know, just get a little food at a break. But,
yeah.
No.
It wasn't, it did sort of break up the, and then whenever coming back to commercials, you would have to remember where you were.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Or you'd have to, I was always bummed out you had to like cut the guest off, even though we tried well not to do that. Like there would, that's what it would end up doing. You know, mm-hmm. there's no time to good time usually to take a break, but
it's kind of awkward.
Well, can we tell people why this is exceptionally risky right now because of what we've been looking at with, Google and all that.
Oh,
that's something crazy this week.
Yeah. So I wrote an article. There's been some stuff going on recently since March 27th with Google, where all of a sudden they took a
turn.
They
showed us no love.
They showed us no love. So they stopped sending us tons of traffic to our website.
Tons.
Through Google searching. And our site just sort of dropped off and we got way less traffic. And fortunately, our viewers are still the same. Our listeners are still the same. But the traffic to the website just got cut. Mm. And we're trying to figure out why, what happened. And in doing a bunch of research, I found out that Mike Adams, if you go to our website right now, extremehealthradio.com, go on the homepage, and there's an article that I wrote called Almighty Google is Censoring Us. And there's a video on that page that I found of other websites that Google's doing this to as well. And Mike Adams, a friend of ours, the owner of naturalnews.com, he's written extensively about what's going on, and he's actually putting together an alternative search engine, which is awesome.
I can't even believe that.
And we want
no one's ever done that. Or maybe they have, but not to this scale, I don't think.
Yeah. And he's doing it for health. I don't think it's going to be a search engine for things other than health. But it's going to be sort of the go-to search engine for health-related issues, for natural health-related issues, I should say. So if you want to go to the internet and type in, you know, drugs for lower back pain, then that wouldn't be the place to go.
Right.
This would be alternative health search engine.
Right.
Which I hope really takes off. And so anyway, Google's been doing this to us, and there's been a lot of stuff going on with Google. And so we need your help desperately like never before, so it makes no sense for us to cut commercials. But this is what we feel like we should do and have to do and want to do to make a better show. It's really risky.
It's really risky.
But we are just going to do it because we want to create something cool for you guys.
It cracks me up of like how, for two really non-risk takers, we're just risking everything now. We're just going for it. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is what we're supposed to do. So we're just embracing it. It's crazy.
And for those of you that are wanting to, or that you do share our show, our last show was, sharing the names off of people that do share our show. So thank you to Philip Moss, Roger Ferdinand, Tammy Summers, Colleen Noslario. Is that how you say it? Noslario?
Sure.
Carmel Noland. That's quite a name. Carmel Noland.
Carmel?
Maybe it's Carmel. It's got to be Carmel.
Carmel's cool, though.
I know. I like the name Carmel. Tamara Brown.
Nice.
So thank you to all of you guys who shared our show on Facebook.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Colleen Noslario. Carmel.
That's a great
Nolan.
Name.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I like
so
it.
So that's pretty cool.
You gonna get with those names this time. Sometimes I wonder about you.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I don't do too well.
We got a question in the chat. Is Yahoo censoring us as well?
That it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like traffic has decreased to our website from Yahoo. And there's a prominent search engine guy that I've been talking with, and he was telling me that it's very tricky with Google and alternative health websites right now. He was saying that it's very, very tricky with how they're treating alternative health, which is essentially censorship, right?
Right.
Because I linked to an article that Google is actually employing people on their staff to be medical directors, and they're going to be looking at health issues through the medical side of things. So,
oh my gosh.
Isn't that nuts?
What is going on?
So if people search for you have a cough right now that you're doing, as our friends would say, colloidal silver.
colloidal
silver. and people doing a search for, you know, how to get rid of a cough, and they don't know anything about natural health, they're going to come up with all drug companies and stuff.
Right.
And so it's just really, it's not good.
No.
It's not good. Obviously, it's not good for us on a personal level because, less people to the website.
But things that people would never stumble across. Like, I feel like that's how half the people we talk to, how did you get into, you know, natural health? Oh, I, you know, put in something and up came this other thing and there I went down the rabbit trail. That just isn't going to happen for people anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So scary. Right? You know, who sent us that article? I think one of our listeners, gosh, we get so many great things from people and I forget, but it was about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
It was an article, and I'll have to find it and we can link to it 'cause I'm going to blow it. But basically it was like some city in, I believe it was New England, where they were going through the city's sewer pipes and collecting all of the waste and going through it to see, like, as a city, what their city people were dealing with their health.
I got it right,
like,
here.
As a city, do you have it?
Smart sewers will reveal what's in Cambridge's citizens' guts. Let me just read a couple sentences.
This is great.
This is crazy. Nusha Gailey reached down the open manhole yesterday morning and grabbed the hose dangling in the rushing streams of the sewer below. As she pulled up the hose, she spotted a wad of toilet paper clinging to its end and recoiled in disgust, accidentally splashing a few drops of water on strands of exposed hair sticking out from her face mask. A Cambridge, Massachusetts city sanitation worker offered comfort. "A little caca won't hurt you," he said.
Yeah.
Gailey is an architect and research fellow at MIT who, beginning on Wednesday morning this week, oversaw a 24-hour effort to collect water samples from the sewer beneath an East Cambridge neighborhood. Every hour, the team pulled up half a liter of prestigious sludge. The team was doing the groundwork for an ambitious project that aims to understand the well-being of a city by tracking its residents' biological and chemical waste. Eventually, with robotic samplers placed below the streets, Cambridge may have a, quote, smart sewer that will let public health officials study the city's collective microbiome, the communities of microorganisms that live in humans' guts. The idea, quote, is to look at the patterns of sewage relative to how we live our daily lives. Yaniv Jacob Turgeman, research director of the project.
Quote, that wasn't your brain. You're giving all the rest of the names.
I can't read names very
well.
I'm
just kidding.
Quote, we want this to be something that has actionable insights that enables public health in a meaningful way. So that was spin it in a good way. The project, dubbed Underworlds and supported by a $4 million grant through the Kuwait MIT Center for Natural Resources and the Environment, has been embraced by the city that the research team calls home. Quote, if you get information closer to real time, you can rally resources to try to address a problem before it becomes a much bigger problem, says Director Sam Lipson. The MIT project is extremely ambitious and pioneering. It could represent a significant seminal advancement in the prospects for quickly and inexpensively monitoring public health in real time.
Why are they monitoring? That's the whole problem.
I know, right?
Why do they need to quickly monitor any public health? Like what happened
to... That's bizarre.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. What city was that? Was that...
Massachusetts. Cambridge. Cambridge, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, the project that will analyze the city's microbiome. See, that's just, have you ever seen that video? It was that really funny video where there's a guy that tries to order pizza from a pizza shop.
I think I remember that.
And he tries to call up and the person who's at the pizza shop is asking him all these questions. And based on, he ends up knowing where he lives, what he spends his credit on, and what his life savings are, and all these different things.
It's a joke, but it starts to scare you. Like, wow, is that what they're collecting on us or trying to? Is that what's going on?
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, they're going through our sewers. I love how Jim in the chat room says, suddenly my East Coast lunch became unpalatable. Yuck. Sorry, Jim.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's just crazy.
Well, there was that other thing a couple of years ago. I don't know. Oh, gosh, again, I forget where I read these things, but it was an article about a bunch of scientists in New York City who were collecting people's gum, chewed gum. They called it free DNA.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They're saying that any DNA that is left out of willingly out of a person's body is free game. So these group of scientists, I forget what from what university, or they were collecting people's chewed gum from trash cans and the street.
How would they know who it
They didn't.
To?
That's the thing. They would take this into their place of study or their lab or whatever, and they would, I don't know how, but basically reconstruct what people's faces would look like based on the DNA that came out of that piece of discarded gum.
Well, I guess you could do
That's
that.
That's crazy.
Because they do that with like fossilized DNA and things. They try to rebuild what
Put
ancient man would
together.
Look like, you know?
Totally. But then they were coming up with these things, and then they were making them into like kind of a museum slash art exhibit of like, here's what we think these people. I mean, how trippy would that be if you're that person who threw away that gum and you happen to hear about this thing, go to this thing, and you're like, well, that looks like my face. Like,
you go to an art museum and it's just a complete replica of you.
Looking like the David.
How did
well,
I
have good apps.
Isn't that bizarre?
Totally.
That
totally.
Is really strange.
There's something there. Just at what point? I mean, that is a little more understandable. I mean, that's still creepy. But the fact that they're going through the sewers and stuff. I mean, what the heck is going on?
Yeah,
what
I don't
happened
like that.
To just being a person and living your life? And that just is back. That we lost that a long time ago. But now we're having to fight for our rights to thrive, really, and to have some privacy.
Yeah, there's Hey, have you heard of Have you heard of Operation Jade Helm?
No.
This is crazy. I found this on Natural News. Isn't it obvious? If Operation Jade Helm were happening in any other country, it would be immediately labeled a military drill for martial law.
What?
Jade Helm.
What does that mean?
I guess you could look that up.
Okay.
I'm always amazed at how people can be programmed by the mainstream media to ignore the obvious reality happening right in front of their eyes. Right now, America is being lulled into a hypnotic sense of denial while military training for martial law is happening right in their own neighborhoods and city streets. Yet strangely, no one is allowed to refer to this exercise as training for martial law, even though that's obviously what it is. Most Americans remain totally unaware of the fact that massive military drills spanning 10 U.S. states will soon put military troops, helicopters, armored transports, and military weapons directly on the streets of communities across the nation.
What?
Quote, Operation Jade Helm begins in July and will last for 8 weeks, reports the Daily Mail.
This July?
Yeah. Soldiers will operate in and around towns in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Colorado, where some of them will drop from planes while carrying weapons loaded with blanks in what military officials have dubbed realistic military training.
What?
The military, so now they're going to be falling from the sky, these characters?
Oh, God.
The military drill labels Texas. If you want, you can let me know and I can mute your mic.
Sorry, I just that one
no,
hit
if you
me.
Want, you can okay. just let me know. The military drill labels Texas and Utah hostile territory, where military special ops personnel are supposed to try to covertly move among the public undetected, as reported in the Houston Chronicle. Quote, they're going to set up cells of people and test how well they're able to move around without getting too noticed in the community, said Roy Boyd. How's that name?
Roy Boyd.
Roy Boyd. Roy Boyd. Chief deputy with the Victoria County Sheriff's Office. They're testing their abilities to basically blend in with the local environment, not stand out and blow their cover.
Okay, creepy.
Creepy, huh?
Where did you hear about that?
I heard about it online recently, and then I did a search for it, and Natural News was the first website that showed up. This was written on March 30th, 2015.
How come no one... So they're not going to announce this to the public? It's just all of a sudden there's just going to be this military presence in July for
you're
no reason?
Seeing all these people falling from the skies, I guess.
It's like Sandy Hook all over. It's like... it reminds me of Toy Story. When all those, you never saw that, but those little green army men like parachute out of the sky.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's not cool.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Somebody's going to be joining us in our living room for unexpected dinner. That's crazy. Just for 8 weeks?
Mainstream media says there's nothing to worry about when the military infiltrates your local cities and towns.
Oh, my goodness. I don't like that at all.
I love that he quotes Alex Jones here.
What is he? Yeah.
Alex Jones is great. He's just comedy. Alex Jones warns that Jade Helm is simply an effort to test the effectiveness of infiltration techniques on the American public. They're having Delta Force Navy SEALs with the armed with the Army trained to basically take over InfoWars, as Alex Jones said Sunday. Texas is listed as a hostile sector, and of course we are. We're here defending the Republic. Alex Jones. You either love him or you hate him.
Mm.
He's a funny guy. He's an intense character, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you think he's a little...
People say that he's on the other side, yeah?
What do you think? Or do you think he's a whistleblower? What do you think he is? Like, what do you have an opinion on him? I can't figure him out.
I don't know. He I don't know why. I mean, people have said that he's sort of working for the other side, and he's working for the government, and he's doing all this stuff as a sort of infiltrating American population with this sort of fear mongering. But I don't see the upside for the government to have a guy like him, raising awareness about the things that the government seems to be doing. So I don't know, but he did bring a lot of what's that called when? There's a name for it when people infiltrate like peaceful protests, and they like the government officials will infiltrate like a protest that's going on with their own agents.
Right, like they did with Occupy and stuff.
Yeah.
They'll place people like...
They'll start causing sort of riots, which will cause everyone else
to lead to arrests.
What's that? No, it will cause other people to start rioting as well, and that way the cops can arrest the other people, sort of incites other people that wouldn't normally be rioting. And so he did a lot of work in exposing that whole thing. I don't know.
Look what Paul says in the chat room. That's interesting. Alex is sincere, but he's nuts. Much to my shame, I gave him his start in network radio.
Much to your shame.
Interesting. Oh, wow, really?
Start in network radio. Wow. Yeah, he's a... he says provocateur. Interesting guy. I don't know what to say about Mr. Paul left the YouTube video. I got to watch that.
Or the pizza order call.
The pizza order call. I got to check that out. We'll put that on the link on the show page. That is just funny. But yeah, Operation Jade Helm. Might want to look that one up. Looks like it's going to be happening.
I don't like that at all.
Sometime in
July.
July, is that what it said?
Makes me want to peace out of here, I'll tell you.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, we had big stuff this week when we found out that Google thing, when we started reading about the Mike Adams thing, just all this stuff and being affected personally. And then in California with the forced vaccination laws apparently trying to be pulled. It's like the rug pulled out from under our feet.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't try to pass that. Like we've always talked about, they usually seem to pass these sneaky bills on like a holiday, like a Christmas Eve when no one's paying attention. Or
I know.
Remember a couple of years ago, the wild salmon thing. Here in California, maybe it was California, but that was like on some holiday, Thanksgiving evening or something, where no one's paying attention to what's going on in the government. But
well, for people that don't know what the wild salmon thing was, that was a situation where they were going to make it so that they didn't have to label genetically modified salmon.
Can you believe that?
Which was going to be the first of its kind as such.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would never know if they're going to be getting it or not. And like you said, they passed that at some weird time.
Some sneaky bill, yeah. Or like when everybody was just conveniently busy, focused on family and other things that,
yeah,
you know, they thought that wasn't going to be... They're smart. I mean, it's not going to be as big of a ruckus if...
And also with the...
slide it.
With the... What did they do at Jekyll Island? And they passed the Federal Reserve in Christmas Eve, 1913.
Is that what
Jekyll
it was?
Island. Christmas
1913.
Eve. 1913. You know,
they continued on since then, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's so the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this vaccination thing, oh man.
SB 277 will unleash medical civil war in California as parents demand doctors be arrested for felony assault. The spectrum of harm varies widely from small skin rashes to full-blown neurological damage and lifelong debilitation. Some children have been killed by vaccines, and the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has paid out nearly $3 billion to families of children who are provably injured by vaccines in America.
You don't hear about that, though, do you?
Not much. Mm-mm. The UK government similarly has just agreed to $90 million in financial compensation to victims who suffered permanent brain damage from another vaccine. You will not find any truthful reporting on vaccine injuries in quackpot mainstream media publishers like the Washington Post, of course. They are largely funded by Big Pharma and therefore propagate the junk science delusion that vaccines never cause injuries at all. Because vaccines have the potential to do harm. They do indeed cause severe harm, injury, and even death in some children. So it sounded like, from what I was able to understand, that the vaccine, the SB277, was going to force parents to have to vaccinate their children if they were going to be going to school of some kind, right?
That's what we originally understood, yeah.
But then we just read something recently where they're trying to make it so that, what is it, even people
so
that
then
work
we thought,
kids?
Okay, then you're safe. If you want to homeschool your kids, not going to be that big of a deal, even though that's still a huge problem.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, who really probably is going to have the time to homeschool their parents or the desire, or their kids, or the desire to, and then be forced to almost because they don't want their kid to get a vaccine. The whole thing is just stupid.
Right.
But yeah, now it sounds like we've been dealing with a new card on the table about if you're going to be working with children of any kind, you're going to be, I don't know if the word forced, but basically forced as an adult to receive the vaccines as well.
Isn't that bizarre?
So this becomes just a huge, I don't know. Do you think this could pass? People are waking up and there's this huge anti-vaxxer, you know, thing going on, movement. Do you think that this is even possible?
I think it's going to pass.
Like, in how long?
I don't know. I heard that it's not, it's been signed or whatever to go into law, but it's going to take some time for it to actually be put forward and be implemented. But
they're going to come against some resistance for sure.
Isn't it interesting that all law is contract and all contract is law?
Mm.
And it's very interesting to me when the correlation is said, like, what is a law before it becomes a law? It's a bill.
Mm.
So it's all just sort of contract. It's sort of like any law that you can put out there and make and turn a bill into a law, it is really in essence a bill, because it's just a money making situation for people and for essentially the government. And it's the same thing with this whole marijuana thing. You know, it's when you put people in prison for not vaccinating their children or anything like that, or for taking marijuana. It's not even marijuana, it's called cannabis or hemp. It's just a lot of money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is a bill. It's like a bill to the American people, or the American citizens, or living beings, whatever
living
the term
beings.
Is.
Gosh.
Isn't that bizarre? Huh. I mean, they're going to make a lot of money if they put people in prison for not vaccinating their children. So money making.
Well, of course, because guess what then? Who takes care of your kids while you're serving a sentence? I mean, then you're going to go, if you don't have family, or even if you do, they could be taken and thrown into foster homes. And then guess what? There's more money allotted to those families for caring for it. And the whole system just keeps going, and everything's about money. And the kid becomes worth X amount of this, and the person in prison becomes worth X amount of this. It's just, you'd like to think that they'd want as many people out of that situation as possible, but no, there's no money in that. Keeping people, there's money by people working and, you know, paying their taxes and things, but there's more money. You're worth more when you're
in prison. Would you be willing to move out of the country for this, because of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have probably said a couple of years ago, no, but yeah, I mean, this is getting,
it's getting bizarre. It's getting very strange.
It would be very hard. It would be very, very hard to leave, like, who we love and the area we love and all this stuff. But I mean, if that's what it's coming down to, yeah, absolutely. Because that becomes a quality of life and rights. And I don't want to support and live in a country that's, you know, there's great things about this country for sure. I love where I live, and I love the quote freedom that I seem to have at times. But no, I mean, if that was becoming the reality here, there's no way. Would you? I mean, I couldn't stay and put up with that.
No, I mean, if it came down to really, like, our kid, you know, having to be vaccinated or not. I mean, it's really, really interesting, because on one level, if you're going to be, so it forces you to homeschool your children, essentially, because if you can't homeschool your children, then the only other option is public school and vaccinations.
Right.
So that's really, really, it takes away your freedom, takes away your rights, takes away your ability to have a choice. It's very similar to what's going on with Obamacare and this forced, medical insurance that does nothing but pad the pockets of pharmaceutical companies and the whole medical industry. and insurance companies. And so it's very akin to that, where, you know, it's not, they may not put you in prison for it, but they could make life so difficult.
Mm-hmm. That keep raising the fees and the fines. And
the fees and fines, and then you can't do this or can't do that unless you get a vaccination. It becomes almost unlivable unless mm-hmm. you want to go by their whatever they want you to do. If it comes down to that, I mean, it should already be bad enough with this forced medical insurance thing, I think.
Well, I can't believe more. I mean, I know people were enraged about it, but the fact that the uprising either wasn't as big as it should have been, or it completely was and it was downplayed, and here we are. Like, mm-hmm. it makes you feel like, I mean, I hate to say it, but you feel like you're one person against an army of 3,000 and you're just not going to win. They have the gun. So,
I mean,
at some point, do you leave, or do you just stay and fight? You know, I don't know.
I understand people that want the Obamacare because they're saying, you know, there's so many underprivileged people that don't have access to health insurance and things like that.
Yeah, and all these pre-existing conditions, which we ran across when we had insurance. But
yeah, and I understand that. It does help people that don't know anything about alternative therapies and don't have any money for regular traditional health insurance to get their drugs and everything else. I understand that, but could they not have allowed people under a certain income to be able to have access to that without forcing a fine on people, you know, that don't want it? And there are lots of people that don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's forcing me to contract. I mean, we have the unlimited right to contract with anyone, and I shouldn't be forced to go have to buy a loaf of bread or not. You know, this is just bizarre. It's a bizarre time in our world.
Jim says, are private schools exempt from the vaccine law?
From what I understand, they're not. Mm-hmm. So even if you put your kid in a private school, because a private school really is, people think it's different because it's private. In a sense, it's a little bit different, but it's still part of the public at large and still part of the public mandates and things like that. It's different than a private membership association that you can be a part of with like Dr. Bergman mm-hmm. or something like that, mm-hmm. where you decide to be a part of a membership like that. So,
gosh,
I just don't like that. I don't like having my
good old. It always starts in good old California.
Well, they want to see how we're gonna deal with it, mm-hmm. right?
I feel like we're the great human experiment.
I know, right?
Hey, by the way, that was a really. I heard about that movie coming out, that documentary, The Human Experiment, with Sean Penn.
Oh yeah.
What's it called? Narrating it.
What is that? Did you tell me about that recently?
Yeah, it was in this really great magazine that I get, and it's called, let me look this up, The Human Experiment.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I'll put a trailer to it, but I don't know. Let's see. When is this out? It just looked really cool. It just looks like one of those freedom fighting kind of movies.
So Paul says in the chat room, only individuals can opt out. Are private schools exempt?
Curious, I think opting out of the Obama of the healthcare thing.
Does he mean, Paul, do you mean individuals in the sense of like free and living men kind of thing? Or do you just mean individuals, meaning just individual people can opt out? Hmm. Private schools exempt from the vaccine law. So they're going to figure out how California is doing with it, and then they're going to probably try to roll it out, right?
And then they'll go through our sewer and make sure that our excrement has the vaccines in it.
And they're going to figure out if you have vaccine in you or not. That's bizarre. I bet they talk about that in the Human Experiment movie.
I bet they do. The Human Experiment movie, to my knowledge, that was more about like all the chemicals being forced on us. And
oh, really?
How we're the first, like, this is the first time in history where we have just all these, this slew of things that we don't know what's happening to us, from plastics to non-organics to, you know, just really bad stuff going on. But I think the Human Experiment in the other way, too, is just like, wow, this is a crazy time to be alive, to watch what they're going to expect from us and how much they can get away and how much we're not going to fight, see how passive we are or not, you know, but.
Right. That makes sense. Mm.
Yeah. Paul says vaccines. I have to get special papers from the state so my daughter doesn't have to get her shots.
Interesting. And Paul, you're in Texas, I believe. Yeah. We were on the phone yesterday.
See, that's what's scary about here in California, though. We've always thought that to be true, too. And didn't we have a link at some point to our page, our show, where you could get that information to step aside from the vaccine thing?
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a separation, but that's what's scary, I think, about what's happening here, is that's being overridden.
They're trying to sort of... make it so that they're taking away all your exemptions, because they typically have the religious one, mm-hmm. the philosophical one. There's two other ones I forget, but they're on our page. And in fact, they're on our top of our website on the green bar. If you go to the top and you go to miscellaneous, there's a page called vaccine forms, and you can download those and take them and use them as well.
That scares the living crap out of you, doesn't that? Like, We could have a kid and we just don't. I mean, that is just wrong. In the future, like, we won't have a choice. That's just scary that we say, you know, that our religion doesn't matter. Our beliefs don't matter. I mean, basically, we don't have a, like, yeah. We're not humans anymore with a free will at all. That's just scary.
Well,
I hope it doesn't come to that.
I mean, it's bizarre because people have this illusion that we're free. They really, you know, and we're taught that we're free. And so people get upset. But it's funny. I mean, if you own a car, do you not have the right to do anything you want with the car? You can make it messy. You can keep it clean. You can do anything you want. To some extent, right?
You have all those little things that you seem free, but no, you don't even own your car.
You're right. You don't own. Well, let's see. Do you? I don't think. Yeah, you own it, but the state controls it. That's the deal.
Okay, but they can come and take it at any point.
So that, yeah, exactly. So
search
you don't
it, take
really.
It.
I mean, you kind of own it on paper. Mm-hmm. But if the state, so we don't really own our bodies either. People think that we have these, you know, it's land of the free. I was telling my dad this the other day, and he was saying that, you know, freedom of speech, you know, Google can't do this to you. And he was getting all upset about what Google's been doing to our website. And I think that's awesome. Mm. But, you know, there is really this illusion of freedom, because we give up legal title to our physical bodies through the whole notion of the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that happens when we are born and birthed into this, they call it Sea of Admiralty. And we give up all of our physical rights and ability to control our own property, and our property, in that case, being our body. So they really have...
Or our children.
They're our sort of our product as a merging of two corporations. You
so
know?
Messed up.
And so they really do have...
Meet our product, Jane. Forget about your children. Meet our product.
She's our first product. And our second product's in his room. He'll be on just
having
a moment.
Having a timeout.
And so, you know, it's you know, we really don't control our bodies. We don't really... we own our bodies, but we don't control our bodies, and our bodies aren't free to do anything we want with, because they can sort of put us in prison for anything. And that was what happened when the birth certificate was given to us. But with the birth certificate comes tons of benefits. You get to operate in commerce in this world. You get to have access to credit. You have access to all of the benefits and privileges of
society. Well, you think it's mail. I mean, things that, like, you don't think about.
Yeah.
You just think that's your right as a human being, but that's a privilege the minute that you opt into the system.
So they're not going to, they can't take something away without giving something back of equal or greater value. So when they took away our right to control our property, which is our bodies or our homes and things, they've given us the right to offset debt and to create money with our signatures and to be able to have access to benefits and privileges like driving and operating and commerce. So a lot went down with the whole birth certificate. I was going to say gift certificate.
Those gift certificates are shady.
That's probably what it actually is. It's a gift certificate to, like, what did you call it? The depository DTC company. It's probably like the Federal Reserve's gift certificate to the DTC. Oh, man. So anyway, guest 9352, enough about politics. Has anyone heard of progressive muscle relaxation? I'm not sure I've heard of that. Progressive muscle relaxation? Have you heard of that?
I don't know.
Progressive. Tell us a little bit more about it. We have an email here. from Stephanie in Sweden. She says, Justin and Kate, keep doing the good work. You inspire me. And I started listening to your podcast at episode 80 at the beginning of your journey as a radio show host. I have to say it's a pleasure to see you both grow up and develop as professional as well as on a personal level.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm developing too in my life. You inspired me to change my career.
Oh, gee. Really?
Wow. I work at the hospital as a cytoscreener, searching for cancer cells in the microscope. Now I've become an alternative health freak. I study to become an acupuncturist and colon hydrotherapist. I think most disease starts in the gut. Hope to meet you live sometimes in this life. Maybe you come to Europe sometimes, or maybe I come to California. It would be very nice.
Maybe we do go to Europe. Wouldn't that be fun?
I know.
Okay.
Have a super nice day. Stay safe and keep in touch. Take care.
Wow.
Stephanie, the Italian in Sweden.
Yeah, the Italian in Sweden.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Who was the nicest woman who sent us an email a couple weeks ago inviting us to go stay at her, what would you call that? Her bed and breakfast, I guess, in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
That was a cool invite. If only we could make it over to Ireland.
I know, right? Sounds like a great spot.
Oh, my gosh. I'm blanking on her name, but talk about so kind.
She's a bed and breakfast. She sent us a bunch of photos.
It's beautiful. It was like a manor.
Yeah.
Close to the ocean. Oh, man. The dream.
Ireland.
It'd be fun to do a world tour and meet all these people, put faces... Names with faces, wouldn't it?
You know, Ty, our good friend Ty Bollinger is going to be on a world tour. He's leaving. We're going to meet up with him in next month in June. He's going to be blowing through town here.
He is.
And he's on a world tour for his Truth About Cancer Summit.
Do you know where all he's going yet? Until we talk with him?
I don't. But that'll be cool, won't it?
Dog down. I have Maggie jumping off my lap.
Ah! Maggie, dog down. Ginger writes in, hello, Justin. Love everything that you and Kate do. Thanks for all the information. My husband and I are moving to a 3-acre lot we purchased, and we have the option of getting a well for water or a rainwater collection system.
Nice.
We're having a huge debate over which to get. I don't want to be in the middle of a husband-wife debate. It's not going to end good. I am concerned with the quality of the water, not the price of the installation. I was wondering which one you would choose if you had to pick between those two options. We just found out that locally in San Antonio, Texas, people treat their well water with bleach prior to drinking it. This is very disturbing to us. I would say so.
Yeah.
We know that the rainwater will need to be filtered to the point that it is similar to RO water. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
A big debate. So many things to think about with the water. Thanks for your thoughts. We love everything you do. Sincerely, Ginger. Not Ginger from
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm.
Different Ginger.
Although I loved her. She was beautiful.
Wasn't she great?
Yeah.
Was she the movie star?
Yes. Oh, the movie star.
Was that Ginger?
And Marianne. Yeah, Ginger.
Who was Marianne?
She was the cute one with the little pigtails that was always like happy-go-lucky.
Oh, yeah.
The really cute brunette one.
Ginger was the movie star, right?
Movie star. She was gorgeous.
Good show.
Yeah, right?
Good
or
show.
Not.
Or not.
So cheesy.
Yeah, actually a really cheesy show. In fact, wasn't that one of the first color shows that came on? Brady Bunch was color for a while.
I think
too.
Around that time is when it all kind of...
Yeah.
They weren't colored in. I think they were actually really color, right?
Yeah. My husband and I are moving to 3-acre purchase. So you're trying to figure out what kind of water collection system to use.
Oh, gosh.
If anyone in the chat room has some ideas, let us know and I'll... share my thoughts about this. I'm not sure how far San Antonio is from Houston. I believe it's a few hours, but from what I understand, Texas has some of the highest air pollution in all of the states of the union.
Yikes.
So that's something to consider if you're going to be getting rainwater in Texas. So you really want to make sure that you're filtering that like crazy because of
all the coal fire plants.
Coal fire plants, chemtrails. I don't know if you believe in those things or not, but even if those don't exist, you have the coal fire plants, you have airplane residue, you have tire dust, you have all the chemicals being introduced. So you really want to make sure and do a good filtration. But then a rainwater system of well water treated with bleach does not sound good either.
It doesn't sound good.
That does not sound good. Because... a well water is essentially like a premature baby. It's premature water. It's water that hasn't, like Victor Schauberg will talk about, it doesn't spin to the top. and levitate and break through the crust of the earth and go through that filtration of the earth. So it's essentially an unfiltered or at least a filtered water that's not filtered completely yet. And it hasn't done that spun vortexing levitation action through the crust of the earth. So you're getting premature water there. What would you do, Kate, if you had to do well water or rainwater? I'd probably do both.
Would you?
I'd probably do both. And I would sort of go back and forth because of those two issues. Because there's never going to be a perfect water situation.
I feel like we do that with a lot of things in life. You know, like we're not too sure. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll do vegan raw for a while. And then if that isn't feeling good anymore, we'll do paleo and just kind of, and just actually, why label it? Just listen to our bodies. And like right now, I'm on such a limited diet with what I'm going through with this metal thing that it's like, wow, there is no one answer for everybody, whether it's water or food. That's just my opinion. But a little bit of everything's better than probably sticking to one and being wrong.
I know.
I don't know.
Because when you stick to one issue like that, or one way of getting water like that, or one diet, over time, you're going to be potentially having issues. It could be the best thing ever, but hey, people want to know about your journey with mercury.
By the way, though, Paul real quick says about water, treating water with bleach is common, like 2 drops a gallon. Mm-hmm. I have heard that too. That kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, I was just concerned what Ginger was saying because she didn't really say how much was put in there. You know,
laundry, like a little laundry when you're bleaching your whites.
There's a gallon of bleach. The 1 gallon of bleach to 1 gallon of water. We'll make it simple.
Oh gosh, that boils down to really bad organs.
Does. So people want to know about we've been getting a lot of emails and stuff talking about your mercury issues, and they've been going sort of back and forth.
Yeah. I've been going back and forth with trying to figure what the heck is. I'm a big proponent of testing. Like, I don't like testing until the cows come home, and I'm okay to let things go and just assume I also am dealing with specific things. But when it comes to this mercury, there's this, thank God it was brought to my knowledge again from some of our listeners, because we talked to so many people. It's really hard to remember everything. But Dr. Christopher Shade, who we had on the show, I totally am forgetting what episode he was. But
I think it was 128.
Was he 128 maybe?
I think so.
He has this mercury tri-test where you can send in hair, urine, and blood, and it basically will send back a graph or also numbers in the... I don't know if it's numbers or just a graph, but in the blood, urine, and hair, separating the organic mercury from the methyl mercury, showing what source it came from, whether it's fish or, you know, organic or...
And he's the only one doing this separation.
He's the only one doing the separation.
Right.
So I've done the blood, and I've done things that I didn't expect the mercury to show up in, and sure enough, it didn't. So, but my diet is getting more and more limited. I'm having more and more strange symptoms, like I wrote in the blog about, with this going on. I mean, I've had times where my ears just completely start out with like a ringing, and then I just cannot be around noise. Like Maggie will bark, or someone will shut a door, or there'll be a car going by, and it feels like it's all in my head just coming down on me, like my world just closing in. And that'll last for like 10 minutes, and it's like, it's so sensitive, you feel like your eardrums are just going to explode.
Really?
And sure enough, there you go. You start digging around and talking with people and hearing about these strange sides of mercury toxicity. And so, I mean, I'm 99.9% sure this is what I'm dealing with, and I become way more aware of it the moment I try to add in any kind of a sulfur or thiol food. I mean, I could add in a pinch of that, and I'm reacting like no other. And
so when you have...
I can't eat anything anymore,
high
hardly.
Mercury, is it always people that with high mercury have an inability to methylate, or is that something unique to you, do you think?
Oh, no.
It's common?
It's huge. Dr. Andrew Cutler's book that I've been poring over, it's very, very, very scientific and very, very not a light read, I should say.
Uh-huh.
But he, I mean, it sounds like between that and Dr. Allison Adams's book that I've talked about many times on the show, those are the two that made me feel like I wasn't crazy for the first time. Mm-hmm. These things that you feel like everyone else with these dealing with metal issues is going through as well. I mean, the methylation thing is just ginormous. So is that a word? Ginormous? It is now.
It is now. We'll make it one.
So I'm waiting on this test. It's been 2.5 weeks. It should have been here, and there was a mix up with my practitioner. He ordered it, but for some reason they didn't ship it out. So I called this morning. It's finally on its way. I'll be getting that early next week. I'll be sending that in. So for me, before I start any kind of protocol, because I'm still just not sure what I'm going to do, I'm probably going to mishmash a bunch of different ideas together to find out what my body resonates with, along with working with a practitioner, a nutritionist that one of our friends and reader or listeners gifted to me, a session with a nutritionist to kind of work through a lot of these, building my system back up and letting my body do what it's naturally meant to do. I mean, that was such a gift. It was such a gift. So Lori, thank you. You know who you are. Just personal thank you on the air for gifting that to me, because I know that was a missing piece with you and your Mercury, journey. And that's been really helpful to both you and your husband. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. It's just
so cool.
It's something I really couldn't afford that extra right now. So thank you. That's just such a gift. So when I put this all together, I feel like I'm going to have the testing behind me. I'm going to have hopefully the right people in my corner. And I feel like I'll just start wading through what works for me. And if it doesn't, I'll change it up along the way with actually getting the mercury out of my system.
So with, let me know and I'll mute it.
Sometimes it comes too fast where I can't give you the warning.
So with the mercury thing too, a lot of times people do this hair, blood, and urine, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that those could all be negative and you could still be super high in mercury, right?
Right.
So you could get a hair test, a blood test, and a
urine
test and not realize they can all come back low or none. Mm-hmm. And
right.
You could have mercury just stuck in your organs and tissues and things, right?
Right. And from what I've talked with people about, they say the biggest... The most surefire test besides this trimercury one, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is true, but is the challenge where the DM, what is it called? Not DMPS, DMSA.
DMSA, yeah.
I get confused. There's so many D words. Mm-hmm. Where you can stir up all of the mercury within your body and then you're collecting urine for a 24-hour period. And then they're, you know, basically testing that. Well, of course, it's going to be really helpful. But the stirring up, when you also know you have giant loads of metal in your body and you're having all these symptoms, is might not be the best idea for a lot of people. You could feel really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me right now, personally, I can't eat a piece of a pineapple or a piece of an egg. I mean, I can't eat anything that has sulfur in it without reacting or stirring something up. So if I'm that sensitive, the last thing I want to do is just, you know, stir up all this mercury, have it just flowing through my body again and be laid up for weeks. Cause I mean, when I had a little piece of a date and a pineapple a couple weeks ago, a month and a half ago, I was like the worst I had been in probably a year. And that was from a tiny little piece of food. So, I mean, there's no way I'm wanting to go in and just.
I think dates have a lot of sulfur too, right?
You know, I don't think they do actually. I think they're low on the thiol list.
Are they?
Yeah, but something about them in my body. But I had a little tiny piece of an onion in a salad dressing. I'm talking like a little piece of an onion. And I had a little bit of the One World Whey, which we love, which mm-hmm. I had to cut out for a while because it's glutathione
increasing. Glutathione, yeah.
And between those two, man, was I just laid out. Like my liver and pancreas, like organs were contracting. I thought I was just back in the worst state I'd been in. So,
well, you know what too, though, if you
it's really crazy
take out the mercury, if you extract it from the different organs and tissues, I mean, who's to say that it won't then go to your brain, or it won't sort of find another organ or tissue in your body? Like, let's say it's stored in your pancreas, but then then you take the DMSA challenge and then it releases it into the bloodstream, and then it stores itself in your lung, then you got lung problems.
Right.
And who's to say that, like, I wonder what happens, like, let's say you have the majority of the mercury stored in your pancreas.
Right.
And you do a DMSA challenge, and then your sort of next weak link is your lungs, right?
Right.
And so it goes into the blood, and then it goes into the lungs. Because it came out of your pancreas, does that mean that it...
Gonna find somewhere new to settle?
Well, no, it finds somewhere new to settle because it goes to your lungs. But then does that mean that, like, it's done damage to your pancreas? Like, because it comes out of your pancreas and goes, in this theoretical situation, it goes to your lungs, just because it's removed from the pancreas, does that mean that it sort of leaves the pancreas intact and perfectly healthy because now it's gone? Or does it sort of, like, you know, if you get into a boxing match, you're sort of injured for a while because you have all these lacerations.
Well, from what I've read, and I could be wrong on this, it's like basically going and looking at a muddy puddle where it's just completely settled, and you go in with a stick and you stir up the muddy puddle and all this stuff rises and you see all this mud coming back. Well, if you leave it for 5 minutes, it's going to all settle back where it came from. That's what I think it does. It's not like it exits out your organs. That's, I mean, it's really good for stirring up and testing, but it's not like getting anything out of you.
Okay.
And, but what it is getting out,
that's interesting.
Some of it's stirred up and it's going to exit through your kidneys. And that's the problem, because I already have compromised kidneys. Mm. So why the heck do you want some substance that's going to hurt you more filtering out, you know, your kidneys? Like, I've had so much kidney pain in the last month and a half and tested, and I have really low function, which is better than really high function. Mm-hmm. But man, when your kidneys are already compromised, that's the last thing I think you want to be doing. So it's a very touchy, very,
dangerous too.
It is dangerous. I mean,
you have to do it the right way.
I know you have to do it the right way, but I think more than anything, it just comes back, like we always say, to listening to your body. Like, you know, if I had a practitioner that said, oh, we do this all the time. Most people, you know, if you're going to feel crappy, only feel crappy for a day. Knowing me, I'm so sensitive to things. I know that wouldn't be the case. I'd be shocked if that were the case. So at that point I'd say, oh, thanks anyway. Thanks for the opinion, but no thanks. You know, there's got to be other ways. And if mine is basically doing this tri-test and hopefully I get answers, but if that were to, God forbid, come back completely normal, I would still treat my body as if, because I know what's going on in there. I just know it.
So what direction now do you think you're going to lean? Because the Dr. Cutler protocol is more, I didn't know this until you told me, but it's more an allopathic approach where these things are sort of chemicals that are used.
Yeah.
But they do, I mean, it's
they do the job.
Yeah, they do the job. And you can always get those chemicals out later.
Right.
But the issue with the Dr. Cutler protocol is it might take a couple of years, right, to get rid of all your mercury?
It could. It could be, you know, he said it could be a 6 month thing. It could be a month thing. It could be, but chances are it's going to be longer because you have to take time into consideration when you do these two, what is it, alpha lipoic acid mixed with DMSA or DMS?
Is that what it is?
DMPS or something like that. And then you do these two things around the clock every 3 or 4 hours. You're setting your alarm, so all through the night you're missing sleep and you're doing these things, but then you take off some time in between and then you bring it back. So, you know, everybody's body is different. Everybody's heavy metal and mercury load is different. It works. But the problem with that is it is excreted through your kidneys. That's the main organ it's leaving through.
Oh.
So at this point for me, I mean, who wants synthetic stuff going through them? That's a big deal. But more than that for me, because I would love to just get this stuff out and know that it's going to work. Mm-hmm. It's the exiting through the kidneys that really bothers me. So there's got to be gentler ways. And that's the thing where I've just been asking a million questions to people who have done all kinds of things to find out what is a gentler way on the kidneys. You know, if it's going to leave in your urine, okay, that sounds better, but what does that entail? You know, is that IV?
But the urine goes through your kidneys too, right? I mean, that's the whole point.
I'm sorry. I think I meant through your sweat.
Oh.
Yeah. But okay. your stool, it can also pass through your stool.
Okay.
I'd rather go through my stool than my urine and my kidneys.
So what is the plan then?
You got to pick your right exit.
Yeah, I know, right? Exit strategy. It's like how we're going to leave the country. Do we go to Guam or do we go to Costa Rica? Or where do we go? So where is it going to go, or what direction are you leaning towards? Because it sounds like you could do something that could be like a 3 month thing that could be much easier on you and faster, right? And more natural too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what Allison Adams was saying, was telling you?
Allison was really recommending an IV therapy called phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
It basically washes the cell membrane.
Okay.
And allows your body to basically start to get a hold of regenerating, getting your liver clean. I mean, basically opening up your pathways of elimination, helping your cells to be healthy. And
okay.
It's not really considered a chelation therapy. It's not going to...
So it's washing the cell membrane.
Right. So your body's able to do what it does naturally and function better. And you're able to start feeling a lot better right away. And that all sounds great. It is very expensive. And mm-hmm. you might need to go for numerous treatments. But again, with that, with anything, you start out slow and you work with a practitioner. And that's fine, and that sounds great, but, oh, what were you going to say?
Well, that's done via IV, right?
IV, mm-hmm. Okay. It's a lot easier on your body. It's just a natural, you know, thing. But my problem is, not problem, my issue is that they follow it up with a glutathione, major glutathione push after that, or, you know, a drip or whatever. And they leave that in for a while because that helps go in and mop up all these other things that were just released and kind of, you know, when you're washing out your cells, you're going to have residue and you got to get that stuff out. Well, when you're someone like me who has a major, you know, thiol glutathione issue, my big question is, what does that do? Does that stir things up, or from the treatment you just did, are you different and able to handle that glutathione in your body? And is glutathione through an IV different than glutathione you're ingesting? These are all the questions I'm trying to get to the bottom of before I just start, you know, throwing things at my body that are going to hurt it.
I can see that, because you want to know, because it seems like you have a thiol issue, glutathione issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be different types of glutathione, like you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and after, you know? And after a great, you know, nourishing and healing and somewhat detoxifying IVs, are you needing that? I mean, yeah, you probably don't want all this other stuff floating around without having a way to get out. So I find myself in a very hard spot. I also find myself with the IV situation. It could be my naturopath I work with now said that he used to offer those treatments, the phosphatidylcholine, but they over time, he would notice a hardening of the veins of a lot of the people he'd work with. And so I wrote and asked Allison about that as well. I said, what do you think of the hardening of the veins?
She said,
well, that can happen with people with very small veins, and it might not be the route to go. Well, guess right over here, raising my hand, I have the world's smallest veins. And I'm like, wow, who would have known that? I mean, maybe when I give blood, when I go get a blood test, even a vial, they have to use a tiny little butterfly needle on me. I have to do jumping jacks for like 10 minutes before. I sit in the sauna, I get my blood moving because it is really hard to get blood out of me. The veins are just so small. So I'm like, okay.
So the question is, can you take a phosphatidylcholine and glutathione in any other way?
You can take it orally.
So why not do that?
Well, you can, but that's the thing. You have to also probably know what you're doing, know how much choline to take, know, you know, like it will work, but apparently not to the degree of an IV. And that's okay, because maybe over time, maybe you just drag it out longer and you're not getting as much, but it's
six
still working.
Instead of three or something.
I don't know.
Interesting. Have you asked Dr. Allison Adams about that?
I did write her about that, and I don't think I've heard back yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a path. It's a journey, and that's where I stand with that. I don't want to bore people, but it's such a hard thing. You just feel like you're in between a rock and a hard place, knowing you need to get this out, but feeling like your hands are kind of tied and you don't want to make the wrong choice, you know?
Well, it does seem that, like you said before, that many people that have heavy metals and especially mercury issues also have a problem methylating, right?
Right.
So methylation is typically like a thiol type of an issue. So,
right.
So if most people that have high mercury levels and are doing mercury chelation detox, if they also have inabilities to methylate, especially glutathione, then it seems interesting to me that they would offer that.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but it
seems like it must be okay for people, though.
It must, because, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, when you read Dr. Andrew Cutler's book, it's right there in your face that most people with major heavy metals, especially mercury, are going to have a major methylation issue. I think that is a major problem for people. So I don't think doctors or IV people are just going in there and just giving you these things, hoping that you're not going to have a reaction. They must know about these things, but I find it a little disturbing that I've written to three or four people in our area that offer the phosphatidylcholine IV that haven't answered that exact question. Like nobody can answer
about it. About the veins or about the different ways of taking it?
About the glutathione
after
the phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
And the vein thing, Allison was the only person to really get back to me being like, yeah, then maybe that's, you know, not what you want to do, because people with small veins, that could be a problem. Now, I don't know if that means people with small veins could be a problem or could not, or if they're doing it once a month versus once a week or twice a week. I mean, again, how do you know? And how do you know if your veins are hardening, you know?
I know. How do you even know that?
Do I start to feel like all of a sudden I'm turning into a rock?
I'm just cracking like every time I move. I can't move my arms. My veins are just cracking under my skin. Yeah, how do you know that? I mean, are they testing the elasticity of the veins before and after?
I don't know.
How do they know that all your veins, is that's happening to all the veins, or maybe just the veins right where they do the actual injection?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's the highest concentration of the phosphatidylcholine that they're putting in. So maybe it dissipates over the distance of the vein. I mean, these are all things that, like, I feel like we're very curious people and we have so many questions about everything. And
yeah,
I'm sure that those are questions that people,
I want to get to the bottom. I want to know for me and I want to know for everyone. I don't want to, at this point, it's not my fear. It probably would have been my fear 2 years ago, keeping me from moving forward and just picking something. Cause I think my parents every once in a while are like, well, you have the color book and you have Dr. Kelly on your side. You have Dr. Adams. Like you have all these people, just pick something. And there's too many voices, and I get that whole thing.
Will they say that to you?
I feel like they're like, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, like, you have all these great options. You know, when are you going to start doing something? Uh-huh. And I read, I think I posted to Instagram.
Hey, kid, do you mind if I go to the bathroom real quick?
Yeah, go.
Can you keep sharing that?
Sure, yeah.
And also, I want to let our patron people know, too. Or I want to thank our patrons.
Oh, okay.
But people want to keep hearing your story because you said you're boring people, but you're not. People in the chat room are saying, no,
Tana,
please, let's...
Tana says, I never bore them with what I'm going through. By telling others, you might find the long-awaited answer you've been looking for.
And Jim is saying the same thing.
Oh, thank you, guys.
So I'm going to go pee real quick, but I'm going to come back.
Okay, you go.
So can you tell people more about what you're saying about your parents and how they want you to...
Yeah, so I feel like my parents... No, it's okay. You go. You run. Yeah, my parents haven't been pushy. I mean, they see my journey. I think they were a bit shocked. Last month when I had that little bit of that food, I normally don't, and it sent me into a downward tailspin. And, that's the first time I think my dad really recognized what I was going through because I was a complete mess. I mean, I was crying. I couldn't get out of bed. The phone call was just super hopeless. And, I felt that way on and off for years. And, I feel like I've just never really let that show before. So it was good to kind of get their support, but, you know, coming from a family who's very medically just, you know, you go to the doctor, you just go get a drug, you fix yourself. I think that they just don't understand the degree to which it takes to naturally heal your body. And I think that's what got a little frustrating with me. So, I'm just trying to do the right thing. I'm not afraid, like I was saying before Justin got up to go to the bathroom. Like, I'm not afraid, like I would have been 2 years ago. I would have been afraid of these things to try these different IVs, afraid I was going to have a reaction or, you know, afraid it was going to kill me or stir things up or actually take me out. So it's really not the fear at all anymore that's making me from making a decision. And I was, I have this Danielle Laporte journal that I absolutely love, and it's a daily planner. And this week, I'm going to the Instagram right now. I took a picture.
Is this our Instagram page?
This is our... Welcome back.
Boy, do I feel better.
I have to go too. It's our Instagram page. And she said, procrastination is a form of intuition. And I thought, wow, I underlined that and posted it to our Instagram because I thought, I do feel somewhat like I'm procrastinating in my journey. Not fearful, but procrastination. And to me, I realized the difference this week. It's because I haven't been handed all the pieces of my puzzle. Mm-hmm. And I know at some point you don't know if your puzzle's done, you know, piecing together, and you're like, I'm just going to make a move because I feel like I have enough of the pieces. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm in that sweet spot though of like my intuition since I've waited has actually been to procrastinate a little and gather more. And as I've gathered more, I've gotten emails from listeners. I've gotten really great advice from a couple different doctors. And had I reacted and just took that IV therapy right away when I found out about it, like I was on a warpath. The day that I found out about phosphatidylcholine, I was calling everyone within our county and San Diego County saying, who offers this? What does this look like? You know, price wise, what are we doing with this? And, right. I was ready to go the very next day, but it's like that other email came in at the perfect time saying, hey, by the way, you might want to look at this or you might want to. And part of that frustrates the hell out of me because mm-hmm. I just want to be able to feel like I have my little plan put together and I can go forward and know it's going to work. Well, you know, I don't know if anything by itself is going to work. I assume it would. And, I'm assuming that I'm going to get, just enough more information to be able to find a way. And then if that's not the way, I'll know as I'm going and tweak it a bit. But so I don't think procrastination is a bad thing when it comes to your health. I don't have a life and death situation. I have a chronic illness that's, you know, been happening over a 10-year period. And mm-hmm. yes, I am feeling worse as the day goes go by if I cheat on my diet or if I, you know, don't take a certain supplement. So that shows me it is time to act, but I'm not in like a desperate place where I'm not waiting, you know, willing to wait the 2 weeks to do this trimercury test from Dr. Shea. Like that's really important to me. And
right.
And it's also important to me not to stir up and hurt my kidneys in the process. So it's hard. It's hard to be a human. It's really,
it's hard to be human.
Hard to be a human.
It's hard to be a gangster.
What is that? What is that? Is that a rap?
No, that was from Office Space.
It's hard to be a gangster.
Yeah, I think so.
How did I know that? I was like, I know that.
No, but I know what you mean, because it's really, really challenging. And at some point, there's going to be, it's like the water question we had earlier. At some point, you just have to sort of go with it and ask God to bless it, and just have the intuition and the knowledge in your own space and in your mind to say, all right, I'm just going to go this direction with this, whatever it is, and endeavor or water that you're going to get, like
the water filtration, right?
Saying in San Antonio, or treatment, you just have to, or even just the food you eat, you just have to bless it and just be okay and say, this is going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing what we're doing with this radio show, you know, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it is working, and you just have to be confident in that. And
but man, is there nothing wrong with gathering more information?
No.
That's where I stand. I'm like,
yeah, no.
I get frustrated by the too many voices sometimes. So it's like I'm learning to crowd out what just doesn't resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that fine balance between finding the space where there's too many voices and not enough voices, and what's your own voice. And you know, that just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that takes time. So I'm really glad it's taken this long for me to kind of, you know, journey through finding some answers. And, you know, I haven't been blogging as much as I've wanted to. I just haven't been feeling that great. And with this whole, you know, throat chest thing, it's really knocked me out. And you think I'd be blogging more to remember the journey, but I just needed a break. I feel like it was God giving me a break, saying, just take a break. And
just calm down.
I've blogged a few times during it, but I think with this whole metal thing, as I continue to journey, I'm just going to really, I've had some really amazing requests of people wanting to know, you know, the details about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. And I'm not saying I'm going to be right, but I'm definitely willing to show up and write about that daily as I find out more answers. And
I think that there's a reason why we all have these things, you know, and there's a reason why, you know, even if you're listening to this as a podcast, or you're one of the people here in our live show and you're dealing with something as a health issue, there's people in your own life that can benefit from the way you go about overcoming whatever health situation that you have. And so, you know, you may look at us that we have a platform and things like that, or something along those lines, but we all have influence of people in our life. And some of us have influence on lots of people, and some of us have influence on very few people, but the amount of people doesn't really matter. Mm. It's all that matters is that you are going through something in a noble, honorable way, and you're willing to go through whatever it takes to learn whatever that health condition is trying to teach you, and then teaching others about that too. Tana says in the chat room that she's so glad that procrastination was on their side, because Dr. John Bergman, our chiropractor, who, by the way, we're going to be publishing his show, I think on Monday.
Yay.
Where
that's a good one. When I wasn't on that one.
You weren't on it.
But I was listening.
And so, but he was saying that her husband, Trey, awesome guy, former MMA fighter, was going to get back surgery, but now that they are seeing Dr. Bergman, they're looking like that could be something they don't have to do anymore. So it's just awesome, you know? And also, guest 9352, I wanted to let you know too about something called the Hemocult test. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it's a test. Jim actually mentions Dr.
Yay, I was Nunley. Just writing. Nice. We led him to Dr. Nunley, apparently. That's awesome.
The Hemocult test, you might want to look into this. I heard about this from our former guest and friend who is in Texas, Dr. Richard Massey. And you may want to look him up. We've done two shows with him.
Two or three.
And we're going to go out and visit him again, I think, one of these days.
Yes.
He's awesome. But he told us about a Hemocult test, which is a way for testing microscopic amounts of blood that shouldn't be there in your stool. And so these are things that people are getting now in place of colonoscopies.
They asked for what was the full name and the test.
Let me see if I can put a link to it. Hemocult. Hemocult test.
I spelled it so wrong on the notes.
Did you?
Hemocult. Hemocult.
It's
oops, I can't know how to spell it.
Hemo, H-E-M-O. C-C-U-L-T, Hemocult test. And it looks like there's, I'll put a link to it in the show page, actually. You can search around for it. I would recommend talking to Dr. Massey. Dr. Richard Massey, because he's the one that told us about that.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, there's things that you can do by being a procrastinator. And, you know, there's so much information out there that you can look at for your either chronic or acute health conditions, which is what Tana's doing with Trey, and they're working, trying to figure some things out for him and her as well. So there's lots of different angles that you can look at for your health. And I think it's important to realize that they're there and these are options, you know. And I think it's cool, Kate, that you have taken a little bit of time and tried to figure out what's going on.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's really cool with this test, this Trifield test that we're going to get from Dr. Shade. I mean, mercury and heavy metals, I was high in heavy metals from my blood test, my live blood test. Was it?
You're dried with Dr. Massey.
Dried with Dr. Massey a couple of years ago.
Huge ring of black metal around your around your blood sample.
Yeah, and in fact...
me too. Remember he said he wanted to know where we all lived? He goes, I'd love to sample everyone within your radius and see if it's something in your neighborhood, because we both were really, really high in metals.
I know, right?
So we know we're that. I think the mercury on top of it kind of put me over the edge.
Yeah, I know. It's a huge issue, especially if you've been, if you've had your mercury fillings removed incorrectly, which is a huge issue for people, that can be a big problem. And I think that as time goes on and the environment gets more and more polluted, especially in big cities or in places where they're doing lots of chemical testing or, coal fired plants and things, heavy metals is going to be a big issue. I think, I think that's one of the biggest things that's going to be happening in the next 20 to 30 years with people, neurological diseases, damage, in terms of their motor skills and Alzheimer's and dementia. I think these things are going to be on the rise.
Well, especially, I mean, if they're dumping things on us too, like, I mean, if it's coming from not only these plants and the ocean, I mean, it's coming from everywhere
now. Soldiers from the sky from, Operation Jade Helm.
Metal dumping soldiers from the sky.
Covered in metal.
Cause that's not scary. No, yeah. But I just feel like we're getting inundated with it. I mean, and that's not even talking about the vaccines being shot directly into kids' bloodstreams, and metals, I think.
Well, here's one of the things that I wanted to mention, too, that I talked about. I shared this with Dr. Bergman, who was in studio recently, that you and I were talking about this, Kate, the other day about the vaccination thing. It's really interesting because I find it fascinating that if you were to... come across a stranger on the street and he has a cup that's half full of what looks like to be Coke or something.
Okay.
You know, Pepsi or Coke.
Okay.
And he says, here, I'd like to give you this. Your first reaction would be, no, I don't know if you spit in this thing. Who are
drugged
you? I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Scary.
But you could ask the guy and get to know him and see what kind of guy he is. And at some point, after an hour of talking to him, you could probably feel comfortable drinking a couple of sips of that. But with vaccinations, we have no idea where they're coming from. The doctors don't know exactly what are in these things. And then the pharmaceutical reps that send them and the salesmen that talk to the doctors, they don't know exactly what's in these things. About three or four levels removed from the actual person who's putting these things together. And you don't know what kind of people they are. You don't know what kind of
day they're having.
What kind of worldview they have, or what kind of corporation they work for.
All of that put together, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know, but yet you're allowing it to puncture through your skin into your bloodstream.
But not just that, you're allowing it to be done to your child. So with the analogy of the guy on the street giving you a can of Coke that you have no idea what's in it. You know, that's someone that you can talk to right then and there and try to determine what's in it. And you can see the can of Coke, and it's you. It's not your child. But with a vaccine, you're three or four levels removed from some sort of corporation. Who knows? In some world, they could all be benevolent and everything could be fine. And these vaccinations could be the greatest things ever. But the point is that none of us know.
Right.
None of us know for sure. We don't know who these people are or what their end goal is or anything.
Well, all we know is that there has been some bad reactions. And then it's like the minute someone took their kid, we've all read about it or seen it. Mm-hmm. They took their kid for a vaccine and 5 hours later they're dead, or they have some epileptic seizures, or
yeah.
Our friend the other day on Facebook posted that her child, did you hear that? It was called a word that looked like anaphylactic, scream. Did you see that?
No.
She went and took her kid for a vaccine, came home and had this scream that was this reaction of what her doctor said, a reaction of the toxins going to his brain. an inflamed brain. And that was a proven thing that she, so she, that's when she stopped. This was years ago. He's now like three. She stopped the vaccines and won't vaccinate her newest child. So I never heard of that before, but it was actually the inflammation she was witnessing of this gut-wrenching scream coming out of her little kid. Can you imagine?
That is so bizarre.
And it was, you know, within hours after this, she never heard a kid scream like that before. And
well, we've all had.
Oh my gosh. So there's, I mean, there's enough, you know, there's enough out there to not trust.
Oh my gosh.
To just hand over your kid and have, you know, them stick your kid full of
stick your kid full of stuff.
Who knows what?
Yeah, I mean, this is your child. I mean, at least at the very least, we should know more about what are in these things and the adjuvants and the high levels of squalene and mercury and all these other things that are known. I'm curious about what's not known about these things. Same holds true with the flu shot too. I just think it's really interesting that as a culture, we are, it makes a lot of sense because as a culture, we're sort of trained our entire life to trust authority figures.
Right.
Whether they be school teachers, adults, like if you're a child, you almost inherently just by nature trust any nice adult that comes up to you. Whether they be people with uniforms on, you know, we're ingrained by our very nature to trust people and think that they have our best interest in their mind. And I think that's where a lot of this thing comes from is we think like, you know, your parents will say, oh, the government, you know, they are, you know, looking to help people and maybe they are in certain situations. But man, I just think that, you know, we got to stop trusting especially huge corporations, pharmaceutical companies and things like that. I mean, who are these people?
Right. Well, you and I have to say, you and I are getting a lot more trusting of the right people. It's really cool. We're getting more leery of the corporations, of course, because they're not looking out for your best interest. But like this last week, we had a really cool situation happen where we have it's a long story, but I met a lady in a parking lot. Going to get supplements.
I met a lady behind a
dark
trash
alley.
Behind a dumpster late at night. I don't know.
Well, it turned into that pretty much. I'm just kidding. I went to go get some supplements for a urinary, what felt like the beginning of a urinary tract infection, and heard her speaking about something more powerful than what I was using, which was Uva Ursi, and I hadn't taken it. And she happened to be buying up the whole store and said, oh my gosh, it's really hard to find. You can't go to your other health food store. They don't carry it. You're going to have to get it online. But if you need it right away, so here. And she gifts me this bottle of Uva Ursi.
Oh, wow.
And it was just amazing. So I said, you know, thank you so much. Can I pay you for this? She said, no. And just she ended up being my angel that day. This is probably a month and a half, 2 months ago. Well, we start talking. Ends up being like an hour in the parking lot. We're both crying and hugging each other about like our stories and our challenges and, you know, a bunch of her health stuff going on and her daughter's health stuff going on. And she ends up mentioning at the end of the conversation that the thing that literally brought her daughter, who has all kinds of issues going on and is in a wheelchair, brought her back from the brink of death was this marijuana tea.
Cannabis, hemp tea.
Hemp tea is what we're going to call it.
That's true.
She called it marijuana tea, but we're going to call it hemp tea. And offered us a tincture. And she said, you know, you guys it would behoove you to come and pick this up and try it. So I came home and told you about it. And you're like, yeah, I think so. Like, I would love to do it. We've always wanted to see if that could help our aches and pains and things like that. But, you know, who is this lady? And I remember it being a little like, you weren't in the situation. So it's, yeah, like, how do you know what's in this, who's making this, how she's making it, you
right.
know. But we talked about it, went with our instinct, and we met her a couple weeks ago. And the minute you met her, I mean, you of course saw her. It was the intent behind why she was making it, how she was making it. Obviously, it brought her daughter, meeting her daughter, seeing her daughter's health, and learning about all the things it's helped her family with. We felt super comfortable with it. So isn't it funny, though, that you end up like really just having to go with your gut on a lot of things, you know?
I know, right?
Yeah. Like, that was totally different. If some random person came up and offered us, you know, a tincture, this dark tincture of God knows what's in it, we would have been like, I'm not taking that stuff, you know?
Right.
But just sitting and talking and hearing someone's heart in it all, I mean, we left completely confident, and that's really helped us in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
It's helped with all kinds of weird things.
It's been unbelievable, and I'm not even sure. I want to talk with this lady and see how she's making it and the way she's going about doing it, because man, what a powerful plant that is.
And we knew that because one of our biggest, we stand behind Rick Simpson pretty much from what we know about how his What's his documentary called?
Run from the Cure.
Run from the Cure.
I think I posted it on our Facebook wall too. So okay. if you're fans of us on there or follow us, whatever, you'll see it on there.
Okay.
And I also posted The Business of Getting High, which is a documentary about cannabis too. It's on our Facebook wall.
It's crazy.
I know.
So I want to know more and just to see the process. I know it seems to be different than the Rick Simpson process, but you read something the other day about the tea as well. And who were you reading about said it was super mightily powerful and healing as well? Remember? You said it was different than Rick Simpson. It sounds like our friend makes it this way. And you said there was something to be said about that.
Oh gosh, I don't remember.
Okay.
I know people are doing some pretty interesting things with it. There's a video I watched just recently. I'm learning a lot about cannabis right now and studying it. And there's some people doing some really fascinating things with it. People are juicing it. Could you imagine juicing that?
Oh my gosh, wow.
And it's really interesting to me that we've demonized this plant so much that we turn it into this criminal act. We imprison people for it, and DEA agents are slamming people's doors down and ramming their doors down because of this plant. And it's got over 25,000 uses, if not more.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Not in just medicinal, but like into build highways and bricks and like use the hemp itself for...
It's the most incredible plant on earth.
Hmm.
And so I understand why it's being... The thing I don't demonized. Get about it though is that I realize now that they realize that there's big industry involved, but I guess when you are setting the policy up for the country, like what happened when this was all first going down with the whole William Randolph Hearst thing, mm-hmm. All that I guess something just gets put into law and put into bill, and they just sort of let it keep going forever and ever, and they don't like to revisit stuff, especially when money and lobbyists get in place. And I mean, they would lose so much. I mean, think about the prison guard systems or the prison systems, the private prisons. Think about the prison lobbyists. There's so much money that would be lost if this were made legal.
Mm.
But man, what a powerful plant. I just read that the DE owns a marijuana patent, 6630507.
What?
The U.S. government classifies marijuana. I love they call it marijuana.
Yeah.
People don't realize. Marijuana was a word that they made up. It was made up during the time that William Randolph Hearst was trying to demonize this thing because he was making, because it sounded more Mexican. And it comes from a Mexican tobacco plant. And what happened was he was making up these stories of Mexicans and blacks raping white women.
Oh my gosh.
And so they would say that they were raping white women because they were under the influence of this thing called marijuana. And so the government, as a result of that, outlawed marijuana, but they didn't realize they were also outlawing hemp, which is money was printed on hemp. There's pictures of hemp on our dollar bills. The Constitution with the first couple drafts was written on hemp.
And what a story. Like, who knows that? When you told me that, I blew my socks off.
Oh, it was required. There was documentaries that were required watching for the, it was called the Victory Plant or something. And it was like required watching that they watch this documentary about all the different ways you can benefit from hemp. So anyway, the U.S. government declassifies marijuana as a Schedule I drug, defining as having, quote, no medical value and highly addictive.
Huh.
Yet they own the patent for using cannabinoids as an antioxidant and neuroprotectant. Yes, you are reading this correctly. The U.S. government, which includes the DEA, has patented medical marijuana. Click here to view the patent. The patent begins, cannabinoids have been found to have antioxidant properties unrelated to NDMA, receptor antagonism. The newfound property makes cannabinoids useful in treatment of prophylaxis and a wide variety of oxidative-associated diseases such as ischemic, age-related, inflammatory, and autoimmune diseases. The cannabinoids are found to have particular application as neuroprotectants. God. Millions of Americans have been charged for marijuana while their torturers hold a patent for the illegal plant. Most justifiably agree that hypocrisy is darkly hysterical. Mm. Watch the video below to learn more about the government's secret patent on cannabis. It's just like a...
Oh, Lord.
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
What a powerful plant, huh?
Mm.
And it's only a matter of time until I think this the walls come tumbling down on this thing.
Has to. Well, I just love that you read that in light of the other ones we've stumbled across in the last... There's been so many articles, but you sent me one that was really powerful about cannabis oil completely curing Crohn's and colitis.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Shauna Banda. Put a link to her. S-H-O-N-A. Shauna Banda. She was one of the ones that she was on her deathbed. This girl was... She's, I think, 38 or 39 or something like that, but she was like... You know, down to 100 pounds or something. Completely cured her colitis. And now she has her son on it. And I think they recently took her son away.
Why?
Because she's giving her son marijuana.
Like he's a little kid?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So she's going through this whole thing now. She went through all this stuff a few years ago, but now she's going through it again more with her son now.
I just have chills over my whole body. My whole body just like... That's like, what's his name? The Jubs all over again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they take their kid away for something?
Yeah.
Like, my gosh, freedom fighters.
Dr. David Jubb.
Gosh. Wow, that's disheartening. But I'm with you. I'm thinking there's only a matter. I'm glad that it's going the way it is, like with, you know, Washington and Colorado. And like, we're starting to see some sort of movement.
Oh, my gosh.
In freedom and being able to cure and help ourselves. I just get frustrated by... If I were to say anything about marijuana to my, or I'm sorry, cannabis to my family, they would just, you know, we all have it in our heads. I mean, not all of us. I grew up in a family, very strict Christian, you know, that was just viewed as illegal drugs without any sort of looking at it from another direction. You know, like, wow, if you watch the Rick Simpson documentary, you see people that it completely took away their cancerous tumors and saved their life, and the tumors haven't come back to this day. But, you know, growing up hearing the word marijuana and pot, and, you know, you see all the kids in high school that are just completely like high and doped out, and they're just like, you know, like brain dead. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, this pot thing is just the worst. And we're so judgmental of people who smoke pot and take pot. And so when you get into the health world, you think, gosh, why would I ever think something that seemed so dumbing down could be something so powerful when used in the right way? I mean, like anything, you can abuse anything. You can abuse chocolate. I mean, you can things that are so good for you, you can abuse. So it's just funny that I've come just complete full circle. And I mean, if they took away every possibility of having it in California, I would move. That's how much I believe that we should have the access to this plant. I never in a million years would have heard myself say that, but it's so powerful. It's just saving lives.
It's saving lives, and that's why it's illegal, because it makes a lot of money. But you know, I think there's like 400,000 people a year die from tobacco, or from and then I think a couple hundred thousand people a year die from alcohol. Hmm. And so whenever you have
probably from corn.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean,
you know,
insane.
Popsicles,
anything that. Is allowed, or like when they had prohibition of alcohol, I mean, crime went up. It was all just craziness, because prohibition doesn't stop anything. People continue to use these things, and you know, marijuana is basically zero. Mm-hmm. No one dies from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
As a direct result of marijuana, and it's just completely everything. It's just been demonized in so much. You know, it started with that whole reefer madness, you know, all that, and taught to us in school all that stuff with Nancy Reagan and Just Say No. I mean,
It's sad it was grouped in with like cocaine and heroin. I mean, it's just like all illegal drugs. Like there was no specification. There was no.
Well, what people say is like, oh, it's a gateway drug.
It's a gateway, right? How many times we've heard that?
Well, I mean, I could eat. So right now we eat every now and then, a little more than every now and then. It's tough to admit. It's tough to admit these things on the show. But we'll have some of that coconut ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could say, oh, that's a gateway drug to, you know, Haagen-Dazs.
Right.
Right?
Right. That raw almond is a gateway to mud pie.
I mean, there's no such thing as a direct chemical correlation between two things. If there's not a chemical correlation between two things,
completely different.
You know, how could you say that something is a gateway drug? I mean, if you're going to be, it's a gateway drug in the sense that, like, if the drugs are illegal, like if marijuana, I keep saying that cannabis is illegal, and you have to buy it from a drug dealer,
mm-hmm.
right? the drug dealer is also going to sell coke and meth, right?
Right.
So eventually the drug dealer is going to say, oh, do you want to try coke or meth? And you might say, oh, yeah, I'm looking for something more.
Right.
But that's only happening because it's prohibited. It's against the law and you have to buy it from the drug dealer.
Right.
But if you were to just buy it on its own, like you would buy cigarettes.
Right.
You wouldn't go seek out. So it's not a gateway drug in and of itself. It's a gateway drug because it's already illegal.
Right.
So it's just.
Your mind is the gateway.
Yeah.
Once you're thinking with your mind, you're open to things that you want to be open to because you see the power in them and you close your mind to things that you don't have value. I mean, that's where addiction and other unfortunate things come in. But like your mind is the gateway.
Yeah.
I didn't have to try. I mean, 2 weeks ago was the first time I tried that cannabis tea or whatever you want to call it, hemp tea. For the first time in my entire life, I've never smoked pot. I've never done marijuana, if you want to call it that. And it's my mind. It wasn't like all of a sudden one day I just decided that it was, yeah, I just want to try this. It was like I had heard so much for so many years about the healing properties. So that was the gateway. Mm-hmm. The information was the gateway.
Right.
You know, it's just so funny. It's looked at a gateway drug, but it's...
it's just another reason to sort of demonize something that's so powerful and so should be a part of our lives. And it was for so many years, at least in American history.
Yep.
And it's just a shame that it's it is the way it is. But my hope is that people figure out a way to make a lot of money on it. Because, you know, Colorado's made billions of dollars off of the legalization of this drug. It's not even a drug. It's a plant.
Right.
You know, and so what they have to do, here's what I was telling this lady. What they have to do is they have to pretend like marijuana, this is how it should get done. This is how it would be beneficial for everyone. Here's a win-win for everyone. Figure out a way where they can tax it, right? And regulate it so that you're not getting poor quality bud and all this stuff, right? So, and it's not sprayed with pesticides, which is like tobacco. You're getting hundreds of chemicals with each cigarette. Figure out a way to, have that regulated to some degree, or people can grow marijuana, they can grow it in a way that's organic and sustainable. I mean, think about this. Think about whether or not, think about growing, if you could grow your own marijuana in ocean grown and rock dust mineral soil.
Mm.
Could you imagine how powerful that would be? And then you juice that.
Mm.
But let's just say it's regulated and they're able to tax it, right? So what they need to do is come out with some sort of smear campaign, I think, the government at least, and just say that some people use it for chemotherapy and it helps with their nausea. Or some people like to take it
for their stomach problems.
For their stomach problems. And just make it seem innocuous. And then all of us people on the underground
who get it,
who understand everything, can understand that it does reverse cancers and does do these amazing things. And we can all just sort of share this knowledge together and we can just, you know, be hush hush about it.
Right.
They can legalize it and they could allow us to take it. And then we could know that it does much more than what they say. Then they're getting away, because as long as they can keep people from not doing marijuana and keep doing chemotherapy, then they're not going to lose any money. So that's what they want. So why don't you just,
They don't want people taking wanna therapy.
What?
That might help.
Radio-wanna?
Radio-wanna.
But I just say, you know, I don't want them lying to us either. But hey, at least that would be better than having it be illegal.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you.
What do you think? What do people think in the chat?
I say
do
you
think,
for president.
Do they think I'm nuts here about this one?
I don't think so.
Isn't the oil rather than the bud that is so powerful? I believe it's the oil, Tana, from the actual tops of the leaves of the plants. So a lot of people are making hemp oil, and you can buy hemp oil in health food stores, but they're making that out of the seed and stuff.
Can you buy hemp oil in health food stores?
Uh-huh.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, hemp oil. It's made out of the seed. It's good, but it's not anything.
It's not the best.
Yeah, it doesn't have, I think it's the THC is what makes you high, but it's also what makes you heal from things and reverse issues and diseases and things. So
I wonder if it's worth it at all to take that versus not taking anything. I'm sure. If it came between that and not taking anything.
Probably.
I would think. I don't know.
I would think, yeah. If you listen to our show with Rick Simpson, episode 70, I put a link on that show page to a place in Europe where you can buy seeds and you can get them shipped over here discreetly.
What?
And you can grow your own. But I don't know. That would be that would be pretty challenging to do.
I wonder, do you have to have a California medical marijuana license for that?
I think so.
Next step.
Next step.
Next. Excuse me.
We got an email question here, Kate, about you and your coffee enemas.
Oh.
I've been doing coffee enemas since early this year. Normally, I buy the organic roasted coffee powder from iHerb.com. Recently, I ordered the organic unroasted coffee from a company in Canada, S.A. Wilson's. It was recommended by Kate and her detox resource.
Uh-oh.
Supplies you need for your first coffee enema. It claims to use special process and is made for coffee enema purpose. This coffee powder is very different. It is light yellow in color instead of normal dark brown. It does not have any of the usual coffee fragrance. That's correct, right?
Yes. And I love that because it used to creep me out with the dark coffee.
Yeah, right?
You couldn't smell coffee the same again and not be creeped out. But
I am concerned in this if it's a genuine coffee powder. I emailed them a couple times, but they failed to respond. I understand that you both do coffee enema regularly. If so, please share your experience. I have not. Have I used this one? I'm not sure if I've used this one or not.
I don't think you've actually used it before.
We have a bunch in the cabinet, don't we?
Yes. It comes in these little foil pouches, and I put them into a giant glass container right when I got them because, I don't know, foil just kind of, it's probably fine. But
when we did the video on YouTube, is that the, we did it with this?
With S.A. Wilson's,
recipe, right?
It's where it's at. Okay. For sure.
Yeah, I think it's because it's not dark brown because it's not cooked, right?
Right.
That's
right.
Number one, right?
Right. It's raw. It's bizarre. I mean, I remember going to a coffee plantation when we were in Australia, up on a hill and up in near Cairns, and I got to walk through the fields and watch these green. I mean, it's crazy what coffee actually starts out as and then becomes, you know, at Starbucks. It's like completely burnt, carcinogenic form of coffee. So even though I was starting out doing the coffee enemas a long while ago now with the regular, I always made sure it was organic, you know, even from Trader Joe's or whatever. But yeah, the fact that it's still,
remember that girl that was trying to answer our questions and she was asking us about the flavor.
What flavor we wanted. I'm like, I don't think
vanilla latte flavor. Like, I don't know if
are you looking for more of a French roast? And I was like, I hate to tell you this, but we're not using it for that
My colon doesn't really can't taste the flavor. Doesn't really know.
I forget. Did we tell her?
I don't think we told
her. Okay. Yeah. She would have been horrified.
But yeah, it is a genuine coffee. The S.A. Wilson's.
It is. It's amazing.
Is the best. It's organic. It's unroasted. And that's what you want, right? And it's also has all of the oils in the coffee that actually do the squeezing on the liver gallbladder, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it has, all the oils intact.
Right.
That cause the liver to cleanse and flush. Right.
Right. It actually, what's the word I'm looking for? It opens the bile duct.
Oh, yeah.
It allows that to open so you can pass the gross stuff out.
You know what? I got to get back to doing coffee enemas.
Yeah. I've slacked too. I just, you know, to be honest, what was happening with me is probably way too much information.
TMI, Kate.
It was a little much on my little system because I was very delicate at the time. Uh-huh. I got really into them. I really believe they helped me at the time they were supposed to. And then I started getting hemorrhoids and I had to stop because it was too much. Almost like violently cleansing to me, where my body was like, that's when I knew. I mean, if you listen to your body, you know when to stop. So I'm not stopping forever. I'm just letting my body kind of sort itself out for a while. But man, are they so powerful. You feel so clean. Your liver feels like it. I mean, honestly, after, you probably want to stay at home for at least a few hours after you do a coffee enema, especially if you're just starting them, because you will have to use the toilet a lot.
Yeah.
But after like the main violent kind of reaction you might get letting this stuff expel out, it sounds disgusting again, but you'll see like a lot of this yellow custard looking jelly come out of your body, and it's complete toxins coming out of your bile. And watching it is just so powerful because you're like, wow, like, that's not coffee coming out. Like, that's something completely foreign.
Better out than in.
Better out than in. We had an email, last week from somebody saying they found a giant, I know who it was, but I'm not going to say, a giant tapeworm with their first coffee experience, their first enema experience.
Over a coffee snack.
Can you post, we have this new favorite guy on YouTube, Flula.
Flula Borg.
Flula Borg from Sweden.
Over a coffee snack.
He's funny. Can you post to him? If anybody just needs a good laugh on a Friday, can you post?
Yeah.
He's just our funniest new form of entertainment.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. So you have not been doing them lately. I have been, it's funny with all these different health things. You have so many things that you do in a day and sometimes you go off things. I haven't done urine therapy in 3 months. And I was doing that every day. I got to get back to doing that, but I was doing coffee enemas once a week, every Sunday. And I really do need to get back to doing that. But they're so powerful.
They're so powerful.
So powerful.
Yeah. I think if it comes between though, like doing the S.A. Wilson's coffee or organic coffee or not doing them at all, I would go with either of those. I mean, I didn't get to the S.A. Wilson's for a year into my enema experiences. And I had power.
It.
I mean, I saw powerful things happening in my body. So yeah, my skin cleared up. I mean, it was wild.
It's amazing.
It was pretty cool.
So one more question. Steve writes in, I love your show and I've done a lot of what your guests suggest. I raised the head of my bed about 10 inches.
Oh my gosh.
I use some old textbooks and have no problems with the bed falling or being unstable in the way. The only problem is that I slide down the bed and take the sheets with me. I have to fix the sheets almost every morning. That's awesome.
That's funny.
I've taken turpentine 6 to 10 times now. And when I go a while without taking it, and then I take it, I always have the best bowel movements. I don't know what it takes to make me feel great right away, but I think it works. The biggest downfall is the aftertaste, which really, wow. The biggest downfall is the aftertaste of the turpentine, which lasts 8 to 12 hours.
What?
And it's the biggest reason I don't take it more. I attached a pic of the brand that I'm taking. I am supplementing with iodine, but started before I discovered your show. Did I hear correctly that you two are taking pills? I'm surprised. Pressed pills are filled with fillers, titanium dioxide, magnesium stearate, among others. I'm using a liquid. There's a picture attached. It was so cheap. I use it in three ways. Number one, I supplement by putting it on my skin, usually 10 drops a few times a week. Number two, I use it in my RO water at 4 drops to the gallon. And this way, I make sure I get the minimum amount, even if I forget to put it on my skin, and it allows me to go longer between cleaning my water jugs and dispenser. Number three, I add another 4 drops per gallon to my water bottle I take to work for the same reasons. In writing this email, I calculated how much iodine I'm taking, and I figured I average maybe 30 milligrams a day. My goal is to take at least 50 milligrams per day, with some days taking more. So I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I have used Find a Spring to find springs in my area. It was good water, but far too far to drive. I bought the emotion code and read it, and I still need to do what it says. It just seems corny.
Totally.
I love that. The emotion code. That's Dr. Alex Lloyd, I think. Is that right?
Right.
No, the emotion code?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, doctor.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Dr. Alex Lloyd.
You're thinking Bradley Nelson for the emotion... Or no, Bradley Nelson emotion code.
That's right.
The other one's a healing code, Dr.
That's
Alex.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm working on making my first Rolfing appointment. Again, great
nice.
Show. Keep up the great work, Steve.
Nice.
Cool, huh? Yeah, we do take the pressed pills. What are they? Iodorol. But I've been thinking about going more towards...
Tinctures
and
me too,
myself.
With everything.
I don't like taking so many pills. I take them, but I don't like to do that. Too much.
I agree. We have been, I have to say, like going more into the liquid
powders
forms,
liquids.
Powders. Mm-hmm. I like it too. It seems more natural, doesn't it?
I take Wednesdays and the weekend off of taking any pills at all.
Smart.
Wednesday and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I take whatever days off that feel right to me. I don't do them as much as I used to either. However, ones that I don't skip are my flower essences, which maybe we'll talk about.
Oh yeah,
on another show because
I love that
they're really powerful. They're really cool.
So that's about wraps it up, baby Kate.
That's it. Good. My throat is ready for a break.
I want to thank all of our patrons. Thank you so stinking much. I really appreciate it. Yvette Hopkins, Christy James, Nikki Hogan, Linda, no last name. Linda Ashman. Yeah, she's from Australia.
Oh, yeah.
She's our friend in Perth, right?
Yep.
Alexandra Andrianova, Karen Rich, Melissa Claus, and her husband Santa, who we're good friends with, David. His email address says Santa Claus.
That's the best.
Paul Wright, who we worked with yesterday.
Paul, we can't thank you enough again. Thank you.
He's the reason why we sound better now on our live show. Carol Gustiner, Bridget, Anne Marie Cronin, Wolfgang Frank. Wolfgang, I love that name.
Wolfgang. Kyle, I like that.
Kylie Carr, Desiree Rios, Natalie Barak, Kathy, Victoria Anderson, Anna D, Marcelo De Serra, Monica Schmid, Rianne Cron, Norman Caruda, Michelle Corbell.
Michelle
Kramer from Organics.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. She's doing good stuff. Yeah. Linda Holland, Monica, Judith Wignall, Geneva Hampton, Terry Winger, Jill Corrigan, Laura Schmidt, Karen O'Neill. Should I read everybody?
Yeah.
Cornell O'Neill, Antoinette Judelson, Shelley Sims, Evan Hinkle, Li-Wen Chen, who we met the other day again.
Dr. Bergman. Mm-hmm.
Great woman. Nicholas Becker, Kent Miller, Jenny Brown, Francis Rios, who we know from Dr. Bergman. Francis Rios, great guy. Kirsty Hogg, Tana Teligman. She's in the chat room right now. Thank you, Tana. My goodness. Cherie Baum, your friend, mm-hmm. our friend. Brian Cunningham, my friend. Megan Gutierrez, Patrick Metzger, who I've known since I was 5 years old. Christy Crandall.
He values you, doesn't he?
I know, right? He does. Christy Crandall, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Marin Kolka.
Mm-hmm.
Robin White. And Flavia Dopenschmidt.
Don't even try that one.
She's from Brazil.
There you go.
She's awesome, though.
I'll let you handle that one.
So I would just want to thank you guys for supporting us on Patreon, I should say. We need all the help we can get on there. And in other areas of our life, too. We need all the help we get mentally.
In many ways.
But yeah, thank you guys. And I'm not sure if you're just joining us and you haven't been listening to the beginning of the show. We're not doing commercials anymore. We figured stuff it.
Stuff it.
Let's make a better show.
I never heard anyone say that before I met you. I remember the first time you said that when I first met you. You said that on our first date.
Did I?
You said stuff it. I go, who says stuff it?
Stuff that.
I think it's Australian.
It's an Aussie thing.
I think so.
You wouldn't know. It's an Aussie thing.
Okay.
No, but we're not going to do commercials anymore because we want to make better shows for you guys. And this is Maggie Stinks.
Maggie Stinks.
She always stinks.
Ooh, her breath. She needs her teeth brushed today.
She's halitosis.
Halitosis, Maggie Brown.
Yeah, we're not going to do commercials anymore because we don't like taking breaks, and we're going out on a limb here and just taking a risk and just saying, no, we don't want to take breaks. Conversations are more important and creating a better show is more important. So what we're going to do at the beginning and the end of the show is just direct you guys to go visit one of our pages we just set up, extremehealthradio.com/join at the top right of our website. And you can learn a couple different ways of supporting our show. There's two ways to support us financially, and there's about 9 or 10 different ways you can support us in a non-financial way. So if you share our show on Facebook, we will give you a shout out and we'll read your name on the air.
Yep.
And we will do a bunch of things for you too if you donate to us via Patreon, which you can do on a per podcast basis. So if you go to extremehealthradio.com/join, you can learn about all the ways to support our show and keep it free, because what we're trying to do is just make something awesome, make it better and better and better, have better people in here, eventually do video interviews, live video, podcasts, all kinds of cool stuff. And commercials just get in the way. And I think in 2015, we've all seen more commercials than we
care to. Yeah.
I
like this. I remember when you first mentioned it, I was immediately drawn to it and thought, yeah, that's what we need to do. But man, yeah, it is scary. It's just trusting. It's trusting that people are, yeah, just going to want to support us and keep us going no matter commercials or not. Maybe they'll want to do it more because we're not bugging them with commercials. I don't know, but I want people to know about all the great products we have. So I just hope that they continue to go to the store and just find out about them anyway, because
yeah,
they are such great things and they do add so much to our life. So yeah.
Yeah. You
it's
think
it's going to be interesting to watch.
Like if there's, you know, how would people know about the sauna, the rebounder and all that stuff? But we do have a link on our website to the store. And if you go, we'll mention just at the beginning and end of podcast, our join page. If you go on there, you can, you know, like I said, learn all about how to support us without even spending a buck. You know, you can support us in lots of different ways. And so go on there and learn how you can do that. And we would just be appreciative of that. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing, doing it the best way we possibly can and creating better shows for you guys. And if it doesn't work with commercials and no one is buying anything and we have to shut the whole website down, then we'll have to maybe go to commercials for a while and do that again. But we hope we don't have to do that because I'm kind of over commercials.
I am too.
I see them on TV. We don't even watch TV, but when I ever see them, I just fast forward through those things.
Commercials are so 2014. Nah,
they're so 1980. They're so 2015.
Did I say 1914? I don't know what I said.
They're so 1914.
Mercury brain.
I know, right?
I love how Jim in the chat room, though, said stinky breath or breath. What do you say? Halitosis breath is better than no breath at all.
That's true.
And Tana agrees. But isn't that true? What a great day to be alive. Like, every day is such a gift. And
I know, right?
This Friday, it's really good to remember that, even with stinky Maggie dog breath.
I love her. I love stinky dog breath.
You do love it.
I do. It's great.
This one's bad, though. Like, she's extra stinky. I think it's because she yawns, like, right in your face. Like, you just don't even...
Yeah.
You don't matter. She doesn't know.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, that's about it, right?
That's it.
Is that going to be it?
I can't believe I made it through without coughing as much. I think my Reiki sessions are working.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Gee.
Just like that. So, I want to thank all you guys for listening. Go visit extremehealthradio.com/join, please, and support us that way and learn how to do that. We appreciate all your support, every one of you that shares our shows, all the good stuff, man. It's just so amazing. I just want to thank you so much for all your help. It's just, we just can't say thank you enough.
We're so grateful. It's a journey.
It's a journey.
You guys are a huge part of it. We wouldn't be here right now doing this if it weren't for the Patreon. So thank you guys.
Paul says, yeah, but people pay me to make commercials. What does he say?
They have no idea. They were so 2014. I'm glad I said 2014. All of a sudden, I thought I said 1914.
I love that. That's funny.
That's great.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Again, go visit extremehealthradio.com/join to learn more. We'll be posting this show, I think, about a week from now, but we're going to be posting Dr. Bergman on Monday. Stay tuned for Kate's emails on Monday morning and mine on Friday morning. If you're a subscriber to our newsletter list, you can stay up to date with everything we have going on. And I just wrote one this morning, and Kate was going to be writing one, a really awesome one, on Monday.
Yay.
So check that out. And that's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right.
As always, how do we end this?
We'll catch you on the next episode.
Nice.